I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Congratulations, your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend, a ferocious linebacker, a clueless producer, and you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. How you live at Threes?
Oh, I'm great, brother. I'm great, man.
Warm, awesome. Sun-kissed.
Sun-kissed. Able to do some landscaping yesterday, which is a
giant. You really are.
You know I love
getting
being outside.
It.
The girls love to help, which they call it help. Is it help? No, it's not help, but they try.
Yeah.
But yes, gosh. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. I am. I'm getting outside. I'm getting outside a bunch. And loving every second of it. You know,
we are, as Ohioans, don't you think, at this point in the calendar, and God has blessed with some incredible days right now, right? To start
March. Fool's gold,
it's been awesome. Yep. We know it's going to end, you know, and we're going to go April, it'll rain for 30 days in a row. But for right now, it's just flawless. And it is, we are essentially someone who is starving, who has been given a very thin slice of a perfect ribeye.
Yeah.
And we're just crushing it. Like, I see people. I drove by a public golf course yesterday, and there were what appeared to be 8 foursomes on 4 different tee boxes.
Yeah.
Like, people were so excited.
Just packed
to in. Just go, to be outside. Like, and this is not great golf. Like, it's not. It's pretty mucky. You know, I mean, this, you're not getting, the ball's not going to roll on the drive. I mean, it's tough. It's tough sledding. This is not ideal golf conditions, but we are so hungry for it because we've been locked in. I think you add COVID to it and you just want to be outside. You just want to do anything.
Of course.
And we're getting a little slice of that ribeye, that perfect ribeye right now, knowing that it'll be taken away, and then we'll get the full hunk sometime in the middle of May or beginning of June. You'll get the full hunk. But for right now, you're just crushing that one little slice. It's right there for you.
Oh, no question. And so, like, the landscaping, I have to even – so, for one, off of that, I have no desire to golf. Like, when it's a nice day outside for the first
time – I know, you've given it up.
My first thing isn't like, oh, I'm just horny for my clubs. No, it's not happening. I have no desire. Like, for me, it's like I want to get outside, ride the RTV. I want to, you know, walk along the stream, see if there's any, you know, dead fish that float. All this, whatever. Just be in nature. I could walk around in nature on pass for all day rather than actually hit a ball, hurt my back, hurt my hips, cuss, crow hop, chuck said club, try to get my scuba gear to find it in the bottom of the tartan pond, all this stuff. No desire to golf. But I have to pace myself when it comes to the landscaping, because I made this mistake when I first moved back to Ohio. So when I did my landscaping in Nashville, you were putting down, for one, everything's pine straw because of the pine trees and being close to Georgia. Like, their version of what Ohio is, like black mulch, where it's everywhere. Yeah. Everyone has black mulch, and you're like, my goodness. Well, it's inexpensive. Somewhat. When you do it yourself, it's inexpensive.
Depending on
when
how
you pay
you
a company to do
expensive.
It, you know, it's $295. We'll do it in the spring and the fall. And, you know, what? Yeah. Why do I need it twice? Why do I need to bring mulch in the fall for snow to cover it?
Check,
but anyway.
For that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, don't worry. If you pay up front, it's actually 4% cheaper. What? Anyway, you know how all that works. But in the South, it's all pine straw. So it's that nice red, like Augusta, where you see the pine straw and all the mulch beds. That's what everyone's landscaping is down there. It's beautiful.
It comes in bales.
So you go to Home Depot. They have semis in the parking lots. You walk in, grab some bales. I made the mistake of doing it in the back of the Tesla one year because then I'm vacuuming out and picking out straw. You know, anyway. But you can mulch in March. You know, end of March, you can start to put it down. It looks pretty. The magnolias will start to come up and pop up, and it's a beautiful scene. So when I moved back here, I did it in March, first year we moved in this house. I'm mulching in March, and I text one of my buddies. And I'm like, hey, when do you usually mulch? I've noticed that I'm the only cat in here with new mulch. He's like, dude, don't do it till May. I'm like, damn. So what I'm doing now, like when I say landscaping, I got the edger tool, And yep. I've already had my neighbor, why don't you just rent one of those edgers? Because I want the workout. That's why. If I'm going to be outside, I want to work out. And so I'm, you know, stick it in, boom, pop out the clay, throw it in the wheelbarrow. And I have it on the trailer, and I'm about to go dump it all at the 34 in the horse pen and scraping up some of the old mulch. And then I'll let it sit until May. That's what I'll do. Yeah. I'm cutting the grasses down, putting them in the bags. That's going to be that's going to turn into are you going to London? Daddy, are you going to recycle the grass? No, honey, I'm not. You know, this is fire starter. That's what fire this starter, is. Yeah. We're going to put this at the bottom of the fire pit, and we're going to create an inferno, okay?
Watch this burn.
Yeah. So anyway, I am more savvy vet.
How far are you going to go with this? I mean, how much is, do you know limitations on your abilities?
Absolutely.
I pride myself
absolutely
on knowing what I can do
no
and what
doubt
I can't.
No doubt. Okay. So there's, this is where I wrestled with. I'll take you inside my brain. Okay? Some of it I'll take inside my brain. Inside my brain about a few weeks ago, I said, you know what? I'm going to go for it all. I'm going to do aeration. I'm going to do
seeding. Oh, gosh.
I'm going to do, because I have a buddy who's been landscaping forever, and he's like, you can do it. And I'm like, he's encouraging me. He's like, I'll tell you when the, I can text you and tell you when to put stuff you know. And then I take a step back. Like any decision, I do this with tattoos. I did this I thought about the damn Tesla for about 4 years before I actually pulled the trigger. And it took a nice little tax refund from the Rams taking way too much money to where I was like, oh, unbudgeted? Great. Boom. Gift for self. All these things, I ruminate over ideas for a while before I ever pull the trigger on anything. And I came back and I was like, you know what? All it takes is one day, one evening, and Remy's been pretty – I'll put it this way. Remy is colicky, Bo. Not at night,
sure.
So we don't have the overnight colic that we had with London that really makes you want to get in a three-point stance, old-school fullback style, weak lead through the drywall, okay?
Just throw yourself through a window.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. She has this colicky, almost neediness to where you can't put her down from like almost 3 p.m. on. And like if you go to put her down to sleep, she like wakes up within 20 minutes, and so then like the only way she'll sleep is you holding her. So it's all it takes is
she's
one of those
too young
moments
to cry it out too. So
yes,
and
so all it takes is one of those moments to realize you can try to do all that yourself, James. You probably could, but you'll be divorced and
you're done. Yeah,
you know, you'll be by yourself. You know, living in a van down by the river. So I pull back and I say, you know what? I'm going to pay somebody to do all the fertilizing and all the natural fertilizing. Of course, we do natural. Like I always love how it's like, keep dogs and kids off this for 24 hours. If you have to put that on the sign that the chemicals can't be touched for that long, I'm not doing it. So anyway, good nature Columbus. They use all natural stuff. Anyway, all organic stuff. And so I realize I can't do all this. I can't do all this.
No,
so
you can't.
I'll reframe that. I can do all this, but it's not worth the divorce attorney, the papers, all of that stuff. It
never
can be
seeing
done.
Your children. Yeah, I mean,
never
all
seeing
those
your
things
kids.
You, have,
you know,
your negligence would be
of course
brought up in a court.
So that's
law,
how I know my limitations. It's weighing. I know I could do it, and maybe eventually. This is what Shelly always says to me. She always says, "You can do all this." When the kids don't want to be around, like when they're in high school, like everyone that you compare
when
yourself to,
they don't
to,
like you.
Right. I'm like, look at my neighbors. They're doing it all themselves. I'm like, their three girls are all in middle school or older. They want to be away. So that's why he's finding something to do. I'm like, oh, that's a good point.
That's where I am with golf is, and I love golfing with the boys, but I'm kind of acknowledging I'm never going to be good. And if I ever have a chance to even be average, it'll be after the boys hate me. So I'm banking on that time when they're ages 12 to 16, when they have no interest in hanging out with me. Maybe that'll be the time when I will actually be able to play. Right now I go with them as much as I can, but that is what it is. But it's, you know, you can't really go at this point, so that's what I'm hoping
for. It's like
for
trying to do yard work, like, oh, I'll have the kids help me, and then it ends
see
up
I don't
around.
Feel I don't feel the enthusiasm for yard work that you do, maybe because I got my fill growing up of those type of activities,
of course,
and they were called chores. That's what they were called. I don't know if kids nowadays have chores.
Did you have an allowance?
I had chores. An allowance? Good
thank
Lord,
you
no
I'm glad you
no,
had that response.
Have
I'm all my friends had
kidding?
Allowances
my I had dad, things I had to do. This is your work. You live here. These are your jobs.
I'm
good
with
luck.
You.
That's what
you.
I did.
I never had an allowance.
No, there was never.
Probably because my parents didn't know how to handle money themselves. So that's something. I'm glad they weren't going to teach me much anyway. But I will say, man, I see these kids with allowances. Like, oh, I give him allowance for doing for what? Doing what he's supposed to do? Picking up after himself? No way did I have an allowance. I told you, animal throwing the 100-pound freaking plate on the lawnmower.
Go,
my dad. You know, Grant across the street gets an allowance for mowing the grass. You know what he said to me? Oh, that's good. I'm like, well, can I get an allowance? No. Why? Because
I didn't have an allowance going. Okay.
No.
All
right.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, I'm glad that you were the same way. I never had
allowance. I can't imagine even me.
You want money? Go get a job. Okay.
Broaching that topic with my father.
Worked at Dick's Sporting Goods for about 3 months.
Give you an idea, the first gig I had, my dad, I had always worked on the farm, and my dad, I was out of high school. It was right after my senior year of high school, and my dad kind of felt that I'd had it too easy on the farm. You know, the farm work was too easy, and some of it is. I'm not going to act like it's all hard, but plenty of it isn't. And so he had a buddy who got me a job, and I was a welder, and I worked like 4 a.m.
Yes.
to noon.
Yes.
It was crazy. I would weld. They were building truck bodies and stuff, and I was a welder. It was the worst job of all time. Thank God. This is a true story. I got mono, and I got to quit it, and that's the only thing that saved me. Otherwise, I was in. Because with him, I couldn't stop until college, so I was going to be in it all summer. No social life. It was the worst. It was the worst thing ever. Mono literally saved me. So yeah, that's the way that the Marlboro Man went when it came to allowances. Yes,
it's amazing.
You know, the one thing we've done, which is wonderful, is we've avoided talking about the Blue Jackets.
That's exactly what I wanted to do. That was my whole goal.
Which is what I wanted to do too.
That's my whole goal. Why would I want to? I mean,
boy, if without Corpy, is it 8-2? I mean,
buddy,
how many saves? I mean, it would have been 5-0. 4-0, 5. I mean, he stood on his head.
Bro,
I don't know.
There's literally two
big, huge problems here.
There's two of the best saves of the season in all of hockey in one game, and this thing could have been way worse. Way worse. Delzato's goal was sick. That was nice. Nice little play. Nice little feed. You could see that kind of coming together as a nice little catch of the pass backhand real quick. But look, these things are all beautiful. All right, that was beautiful. But Corpy, beautiful. The rest of it, trash. I don't know. I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated because for me...
Do we have a right to be?
Yes, because we were led by this organization to... Look, if you're... Okay, you want to be... You want to grow the sport of hockey in Ohio. You want to grow anything in Ohio. You're compared to Ohio State football because that's your warm blanket. And what you have right now with the Jackets is... Fans who have jumped on the bandwagon or have come along and new hockey fans because of that run with Tampa are starting to get to the point where it's like, all right, well, at least we got spring ball to look forward to, maybe. And and you're expecting this kind of excellence, and you've gotten really successful play out of the Jackets, really good play. The building of this organization has been awesome. So we can't ignore it. I'm not ignoring that. But when you beat Tampa and you're putting out quotes and shirts that winning around is not the goal, you are elevating the fan base's expectations for success around here to where playoffs isn't enough anymore, which is great. That's what you want. You don't want to have it be like, oh, yay, we're celebrating a playoff berth, and you know who's going to have the same thing happening to them? Is up in Cleveland with the Browns, to where it's like, we're not going to be doing parades and celebrations. It's the first time in so long we made the playoffs. No, now this is the expectation.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to say it over and over and over and over, but then when everyone starts harping on you because you haven't reached that next step, now you can't pull back and be like, well, guys, hold on a second. No, this is what you've been preaching to us, that this is not
the goal. The difference between the two is the one is a 75-year franchise with the most diehard fan base in the world, and the other is a 20-year-old franchise.
Yes.
And that's the biggest difference. Is
absolutely.
The Browns
but it still
have been
is.
Able to... No, you're right. You're at the expectation part is right. The thing that the Blue Jackets have been trying to build for two decades now, though, is...
Right.
And there is an incredible diehard rabid
fan. I know what you're saying,
base.
Yes. No matter what, Browns will have the support.
They'll be there. They're not
the
going
Jackets
anywhere
are,
because
are
they got...
In a, yeah. Are in a area to where it's seriously people who are like a perfect sports season
there's
for Ohio people is Buckeyes are rolling. The basketball hoops team gets you excited about March Madness, right? You get excited about the Big Ten tourney and March Madness. You kind of, your attention flips from, okay, football, football, football. Oh, what are the basketball Bucks doing? What are the Jackets doing? And then by the time you get to this point, you're thinking, all right, are we making a playoff run for the Jackets? Yes, I'm going to have local sports to pay attention to and root for. And in a normal world, gather with neighbors and friends to watch the parties, have a few drinks, sure, a few eats, and watch and enjoy local sports. And what you're getting close to now with the team losing four in a row and the basketball Bucks, and then now you have the Jackets who are really, I mean, I don't want to say it yet, but they're close to just accepting the fact that they won't be a postseason team. How long can we keep the hope alive?
How long can we keep that alive?
You know, and when you get to that point, that it really gets to, okay, I guess we have spring ball. I guess we can talk about who the linebacker is going to be, which you get excited about in a normal year, but what the Jackets have given you the last few years is a damn exciting thing to carry you into May. Because when you make a playoff run, you're talking about May. And if you can get to the ultimate dance, it's June. And we just don't, we've been stripped of that so far this year. It's not looking great. And that is, but yes, Bo, I think we do, we can be disappointed that, because we've been preached from the front office to us that. It hasn't, you know what I mean? It hasn't been like a, hey, look, you know, we're just looking.
Well,
they expect, like, as a fan base of a Jacket fan, you should expect playoffs and then some. That's what they've been preaching
to
you.
Well, the last part is what I'm interested in, and that's what I want to get into next, because you and I always set an expectation for a franchise before we start talking about them in a given year. We do it with the Buckeyes, do it with the Jackets, do it with everybody, do it with the Browns, Bengals, everybody. So that's something I want to get into coming up next. You're going to hear from John Tortorella. Our good buddy Greg Wyshynski from ESPN is going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour, do some Bengals with Ben Baby. Just a, I think, a borderline catastrophic day for the Bengals yesterday without using the franchise tags. I was stunned they didn't do it. And so we'll get into that with him a little bit. And potentially what it could mean for the Browns going forward, as I know they had their eyes on one of the guys the Bengals did not franchise. We have our Hey Guys segment at 10 o'clock. Get those questions in via Twitter. Literally can ask us anything, and we'll answer them as long as the FCC will allow it. Off and running here on a First Friday Miracle, Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If you miss a Buckeye game, it's because your radio is in tune to the right place. Always and forever, your home for the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination. Well-dressed, well-spoken, but never, ever a well-drink.
How about chaos?
Insanity. Absolute insanity.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. And you need to get over to Germain Toyota, because I tell you what, they have amazing deals on their Highlander, which I tell you, man, I did not know how nice the Highlander was until they had me drive one last year. And then when I was, then I started searching them out. When I go and rent cars, you know, when I'm on the road, I just search out this thing. You can get an amazing LE version of their Highlander, $322 per month, 36 months. Or if you want their Camry, which is also a win, $215 per month for 36 months. All those are good for those that qualify. However, it excludes tax, title, and fees. Go east of our beautiful downtown, especially on a day like today. 68 degrees is the high. Go over there and give Buddy a fist or an elbow bump, whatever you want to do. Chest bump if you want. Wear your mask, though. Tell him that James sent you.
So we try to do this. You try to be fair with an expectation. And I remember when we started talking about this season for the Jackets, you should make the playoffs, be in the mix. Right? That was the expectation. Anything less than that would not be sufficient.
Yep.
You said something in the last segment, though, that I think that the organization was certainly hopeful for coming out of that series win over Tampa Bay, and that was the first round isn't enough.
Right.
It was building off of it. But here, if you look at what's happened since then, and it's plain as day, and it's there for the roster for you to see.
Yeah.
Panarin, not here. Bobrovsky. Not here. Josh Anderson, not here. Pierre-Luc Dubois, not here. Even glue guys like Murray and Wenberg, not here. Right? Mm-hmm. So none of that's here. And you've heard Yarmo last week when discussing, you know, the Pierre-Luc Dubois situation and basically saying how hard it is to find a number one centerman. And it's something the organization has struggled with. You know, struggled putting one next to Rick Nash, never really could do it. Tried getting, you know, Jeff Carter in here to do it. Tried getting other people in here to do it. Never took. There was, you finally land Ryan Johansson. And you say, okay, well, now we got a guy. Joey's our guy. This is our guy. But you trade him for Seth, and okay, that works. And then you draft one in Pierre-Luc Dubois, and then he's not happy, and he's gone. And that's tough to overcome. And this roster is currently constructed, and you think about the Domi Anderson deal, right?
Yep.
You think about the Line A Pierre-Luc Dubois deal, and Line
Gosh,
A struggling right now.
Gosh,
did Domi
need that gift, didn't he, last night?
Sure.
He had that right on the doorstep, yeah. And just
he has not
finish.
Been able to find his...
Gosh, he needed it. I wanted it for him. I wanted it for him.
Sure, you feel like one thing could change it.
And when you've been there, like, look, we've all been there when you are... Maybe not at the level, obviously, of Max, but we've all been an athlete at some point in our lives to where we wanted so bad to perform for our team, and you know you have something in you, but for some whatever reason, it's just, it's not clicking. I've been there, and it's so frustrating because you want to help your guys, you know, like, I feel frustrated for him. To be honest, because that was one where it's like, even if you just put like a gift, like one of those gifts right there, boom, put it in, and you're like, oh, what that could do for your psyche. Just have you take a deep breath. But I think the expectation has been that, you know, back at a couple of years ago when they made the playoffs a couple of years in a row, you're like, okay, this is good. You know, we're building something. And then you'd lose in the first round. And that's why sweeping the Lightning, it came out of nowhere. And you were like, holy smokes, like you wanted to ride that wave. And you had an opportunity against Boston and you didn't kind of come up with it. But that was your opportunity to ride the wave that Nashville rode a couple years earlier to where you captivate.
Yeah, have a long run.
A long run and it sticks. And I think I think Jarmo felt that, you know, heading into the Boston season. That's why, you know, everyone's celebrating. He comes out and says those comments about how that's not the goal. It's because... You kind of felt that you didn't want that to be the parade, right? You didn't want people going down, you know, downtown Columbus parading for a first round win. It's hold on a second. Not only is he speaking to the fan base, he's speaking to his guys. Like, this is not the goal. And he's dead right on that. So now we've come to expect, like, I struggle with how to view last year in the bubble because
so
technically
strange,
we weren't in the playoffs, but since they allowed it to expand. Did we technically win a series? If you want to view it that way as like, look, it is what it is. It's a unique year. Sure. Well, then we were in the playoffs and we won a series. And so that was good. But then you lost. All right. So we've had that for a couple of years in a row now. Now let's do that again. And
the problem is the people that were instrumental in those magical times aren't here.
Yes.
Yeah. Many of them.
Of course. Yeah.
And so that's the thing that's changed is that you try to now. And I think it's a question for the off season. It's a question for the franchise has to ask itself. Like, how does Pierre-Luc Dubois not want to? What happened?
Right. Well, that's one of the biggest things that we're gonna have to figure out is what happened.
How did this?
Yes.
Yeah. How did that happen? How did these things happen? Like, you can't help it if Panarin wants to play at Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
There's nothing you can do. Like, he was awesome when he was here. He clearly gave everything he had.
But that gives me closure.
Awesome.
It gives me closure. I don't know what happened with PLD. That's why I want to know. Give me closure.
Correct.
If you leave me, honey, tell me why.
All of these players we're talking about, when you were coming off of the Tampa sweep, you're saying this is the foundation of a long, sustained run. And you brought up the Browns one, and it's a good one, because think of it right now. The Browns, you look at the young players on their team, the expectation is they will all grow together.
Yes.
And so the magic of winning 12 games last year and beating Pittsburgh in a playoff game, all that stuff, it's reasonable to believe that you can build off of that over the next 4 or 5 years because none of them are going anywhere
right.
in terms of their key players.
Right.
That didn't happen here. The key players aren't here.
Yep.
So you're trying to stay relevant on the fly, and you ask the question, are we closer to being a contender or a rebuild?
Mm.
And right now, I feel like you're probably the second.
What is
probably,
hard for
it's
me,
probably the latter. You're closer to a rebuild than you are being a contender.
I don't think we're a true rebuild. I think the way to word it maybe, Bo, is what have we been saying all year with the squad? They don't have an identity anymore. They were the team the last 2 years that teams looked at and said, you know what? They're not
big,
Jackets
physical.
Aren't going to – they're not going to outskill us, guys. Like, if we can get this game spread out – right, and we can get it being an offensive skill game. We can beat the Jackets. All right, they might have a game or two where their goalie stands on their head. They have really good goaltending. They have good defense. But if we can get them out of their game, we can skate around them. But they're not going to let us get there easily because they're going to make it sloppy. They're going to be physical, and there's going to be so teams looked at the Jackets and were like, man, that's a full day. If it was ever a day where you were feeling sorry for yourself as a hockey player, and you're like, man, I'm tired. I just kind of want to get through this game. the jackets were going to wear you out because you couldn't coast through them, right? They were going to be an all-night affair. And we aren't that team anymore. And so, as Torts has said himself, they're a tweener. And so, while it might not be a full rebuild, you have to decide mid-season. Like, you can't do it now. This is an off-season conversation. You say to yourself, okay, what are we and what do we want to be? Because we have some guys that do not fit if we want to be open and flowing and an offensive team. And if you want to be a big physical team, then there are some guys on this roster that do not fit.
Yeah.
And they might have nice names, but they don't fit that style. So what are we going to be? Because you're half and half right now. So it's not a total rebuild, but it's a partial. You're doing a remodel of a master bath.
Yeah, and here's the problem, though, is the only way to rebuild this is through the draft, because you're not going to be in free agency. It's not going to happen.
I got numerous texts last night saying, better start looking at the prospects.
Yeah, yeah.
So start watching the build through the prospects.
Through that. Which Yarmo's great at. He's a great drafter, great at building them through the system. But he's going to have to get some stars to come up through the system to play in that way. Through it all, John Tortorella spoke last night after the game about trying to be optimistic. Here was Coach Torts.
We gave them 10 scoring chances in the second period. And it's an easy fix. It's just a little bit of commitment and allow ourselves to play with the confidence we had with the puck tonight. Then I think we're heading down the right road.
Yeah, the road's just getting shorter. Is the reality. The road is just getting shorter by the day, and the hole that you're digging is bigger and bigger, and I just don't know if the guys are on this team to pull you out of it. It's kind of where I'm at with it, because it's the same story over and over, and we'll see. So this a little bit of a sobering stuff. We'll have more on this with Greg Wyshynski coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. NFL franchise tags handed out yesterday. What does it mean for your local teams and the NFL at large? We hit that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
All Buckeyes. All Buckeyes. All the time. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your flagship home for Ohio State athletics. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination. It's Bishop and Laurinaitis is What's Up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Honda dealers.
All right, here's what's up on a first Friday. How about a salary cap of 182.5? Adam Schefter reporting it is a done deal, and so the NFL cap is going to be – this is an incredible win for owners, despite getting all the new TV money, and the NFL owners always win. It's down $16
million.
Down from 198. In 2019, it was 188. It's 182, and the new television revenue will be involved. I mean, they're going to win. The owner's going to win pretty big here on this one. I can't imagine the union is. That's a bad spot. That's a tough spot. I mean, I know that a lot of people in the union thought that it would. They'd be a little bit of a meet in the middle. There doesn't appear to be. This is right near what the salary cap floor was.
Like Maren Morris, Meet Me in the Middle.
Yeah.
Please tell me you know that song. You don't know that song.
I don't know. I don't know that song.
Come on. Yes, you do.
Well, maybe I know it.
Baby,
I don't know the
why
artist.
Don't you just meet me in the middle?
Okay, maybe.
No, yeah. You don't know it. You got to listen to it during the break then.
I feel like I know the song. I just don't know that artist. I bet I know it if I heard the song.
She is country-ish. She's country. Starting country, you know. But like most country people, they kind of blend. Like
pop country?
She's
bubblegum country?
No, she's great. Like, I know it because my girls are obsessed. And by girls, I mean all of them. All of them. All four. Okay. Even Remy loves it. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought that it would be a little bit... Look, this is the same old story.
Yep.
NFL wins.
Yep. Owners win.
The NFL has such a stronghold over the PA. The owners are so unified. That's why. Is that the ownership group is the most unified ownership group in all of sports.
No doubt.
They've had it set up this way for as long as you can remember. Like, free agency was a massive win for the players. Massive win. Back with Reggie White, right? That was the first time where it was like, whew, big win. Since then, you're like, okay, there's been little things here and there. But every time that, like, the PA tries to... used to be one of my favorite things when the PA used to come around. And you don't see some of these guys very much, right? You have your own team rep. But then, like, during training camp, they come around for one meeting. No coaches are in there as if, like, they're part of the shield. And it's just them and you, and you're hearing about all the bad things the NFL is going to do. And I remember when the 11 CBA was my rookie year. That's still 2 years away. And they're like, we need to start saving now. And it's this huge fear thing. And I'm like, okay.
Sure.
You know, and so then anyway, you go through, and then when the CBA does happen, they go through all the things you won. And you're like, okay, now can we get to the slide on where we lost? Right? Because like no one wants to talk about that. It's like the draft. You know? That's how these CBAs end up turning out. It's like the draft. Oh man, we are pumped he was there. Gosh, he was there. Cannot believe this guy. Like the Titans last year. They're probably we got Isaiah Well. Yes. Got our man. Like, hold on. Is that really who you wanted?
Yeah.
You know, like it's all just a PR spin on it all. And the owners ultimately have been on the same page, and they're willing to give up some. And look, players have got – look, the fact that we have a safer game is huge. But some of the stuff that guys have tried to fight for, meaning if you're a vested player, getting health insurance for life hasn't even been sniffed. Mm-hmm. You know, just think about the things that you would think would be common sense. Guaranteed – I mean, look, if you think about NFL, right, there's two issues that always come up with fans. Guaranteed contracts for the most physical, violent sport out there. No. That's a non-starter if you try to talk to NFL people about it, right?
Owners? And that's why – and really, you can stop there because that's why the owners have all the power.
Yes.
Because if you're J.C. Treader and you're the union president and you're trying to represent – how do you represent Patrick Mahomes and a practice squad guy?
It's hard.
Like those two
are, that's the other thing the same. Too, right?
How do you? Because your job is to represent all of them, but there's no bigger discrepancy in any professional sport than the NFL in the haves and have-nots. There's no difference.
Yeah.
It's the biggest difference. There's nothing else that's really close. So because of that, how can
Mike Trout's contract to the relief pitcher making $8 million a year is still a giant difference. It's just there's no salary cap.
But you're doing real well at $8 million a year guaranteed as a relief pitcher.
Of course, it's a lot better than the 400,000, league men.
But even the practice squad guys that you're trying to represent.
Right.
That are making a weekly salary. Those guys. How do you represent those guys and Odell Beckham Jr.? I mean, that's mm-hmm. how's that? They're on the same team. There's no bigger discrepancy. They're just than that. It's just, and so because there's no guaranteed money, the NFL kind of can do what it wants, and this cap low is I think what you will see is a lot of 1 year deals. I think there was optimism that this cap would be higher and that there would be a little more, but with it coming in at 185, as Schefter's reporting, and if he's reporting it, it's true. If that's the case, I think you're going to see a lot of 1 year deals.
Yeah,
and let's get right back out there next year when the cap jumps with the new TV mm-hmm. money.
Yeah, that's
the way it's going to have to be.
Yeah.
Now, there are some teams that did some absolutely puzzling things, some of them very close to us. We will get to that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Keeping you entertained with our vast selection of hot takes and play-by-play for over 25 years. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Two guys who love to see it. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And our guy Timmy Hall hosting the Mad About Hoops Bracket Party. It's streaming live on Sunday, 7 to 9, 971thefan.com. Join Timmy as he chats with your favorite fan personalities and mocks their brackets. It's all sponsored by Pepsi Zero and Monogram Homes. It's live, uncensored, and only on 971thefan.com. This Sunday.
My bracket's going to be close your eyes and just flip a coin.
I've never won one. And there was a time, probably a 15-year period where, going back through high school, I'm not quite as the follower of the college hoops as I was then, other than Ohio State, but where it was my favorite sport, I devoured it.
Yeah.
And I've never won one. Never won a bracket. So, we'll see. We shall see.
Well, sure as hell haven't won one.
Can you tell me, sir, what in the blue heck the Detroit Lions are doing?
No, I have no idea. They're just decided we're just going to let people walk.
So they don't franchise Galladay.
Yeah, really set up Jared Goff.
Amendola's not there. They have nobody right now for Jared Goff to throw to other than Swift out of the backfield. That's it. Mm-hmm. Like it appears to me, and you heard their general manager last week say we're not done looking at quarterbacks after Goff said it's good to be someplace I'm wanted. Well, I'm not sure that he is. Like, is it possible that they would flip him? You never see that in the NFL.
Not usually. Not usually. But these are weird times, aren't they?
Yeah. Like, could you flip him to New England? New England's behaving as if they know they have another quarterback coming in.
That's true.
I don't even know if you could do it financially. I know New England has a lot of cap space, but I don't know if you could even do it or if there'd be an interest. But I was trying to because the way the Lions are behaving since acquiring Goff, it appears to me that they're trying to tank.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, get bad.
Yeah.
Solid. Draft a lot of guys.
Solid. Trade for him.
Right?
Yeah. I was talking this conversation with, I believe, Chops last week, and I was talking about how it's just silly to do these free agent lists, you know, that people were dropping 2 weeks ago about, you know, top 101 free agent. Like, you're going to have to update the damn thing. Like, wait till the franchise tag comes, because then you'll know who's free, who's not, and then you get these cuts, you know, or not, some of them aren't cuts. They're just, I would say, you tell me, is it more than you thought people that weren't tagged? I was surprised at how many. It felt like yesterday there was more push notifications for guys not getting tagged. Yeah, than getting tagged.
I mean, weren't you shocked Hunter Henry wasn't tagged?
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
You know? I mean, you have Justin Herbert. Like, you say, okay, like we're on to something here. Let's continue to give him a guy. And everybody's is fast-tracking Henry to New England because they have cap space.
Yeah.
But and they've already made the trade with the Raiders to get help on the offensive line, and you say, okay, well, this looks like a team that's ready to go for it. I'm sure they're supremely motivated to go for it, but they're behaving as if they know that they're getting another quarterback.
Right.
And I don't think it's anybody on their roster from last year. So who is that? Is that Jimmy G? Is he getting out of San Francisco? Do they know that?
Yeah.
That's what led me think to Goff, because what the Lions have done with Goff, that is not putting someone in a position to succeed in any way.
No.
So what's the point of it all?
I know.
I think the big winners yesterday were the Buccaneers. They get Lavonte David, who everybody thought was going to hit free agency, get him to re-sign on a $10.5 million a year deal, on a two-year deal, which is theft. He would have made more than that on the open market, but he's been there a long time. He's one of their all-time greats. Mm. They franchise Godwin.
Have you seen his stats? Like, through the first eight seasons, he's the only player besides Ray Lewis to have 1,000 tackles, I think 10 sacks, 20 picks maybe, or maybe it's vice versa. I got to find it now. I retweeted it.
He is somebody who played on a lot of bad teams and people didn't realize how good he was.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime you talked, and I can't remember if we had John Ledyard on or Jenna Lane, somebody down there from Tampa, and they spoke about Lavonte David and the way that the Buccaneers view him, and they view the Buccaneers and their fans view him as someone who will have a statue outside the stadium.
Right.
So, and someone who just... Sometimes if you play on a team that loses, you don't get attention.
Yeah, I've loved him since, I've loved him since Nebraska. He was all over the field at Nebraska.
He was. The first Big Ten media days for Nebraska, they sent him and Jared Crick. And I went, okay.
Yeah, so he's only two players in NFL history have 1,000 tackles, 20 sacks, and 10 picks through the first eight seasons. It's Lavonte and Ray.
Yeah. But it took a Super Bowl. It took Tom Brady for everybody to realize how good he was. So he does them a huge favor. They still have to get Shaq Barrett signed, but now they're able to worry only about that because they have got Godwin on the franchise and they got Lavonte David locked up. So they can go focus on Shaq Barrett. That'll be their focus.
Mm.
And it's going to be that is a situation, and Miami's a situation where stability, no state tax, people want to live in the sun. Those places are going to – they have the potential. We've seen it with Arizona, too. I mean, just a hint of Kyler Murray being good and people – J.J. Watt chose to go there.
Yep.
So those are places where they've never really been hot spots because they've been so incompetently run. But if they're properly run, they can be real options for team for players in a hurry. They really can. So, I mean, when you think about that cap – and remember this – this is only $7 million, and this is just happening within the last 20 minutes or so. The NFL salary cap will be 182.5.
Yeah.
That's only $7 million more than the negotiated floor of 175 that was negotiated last year.
Mm.
So, you know.
A lot of short deals.
A lot of short deals.
Coming, and a lot. And what you're going to get because of that, Bo, you're going to get a lot of bargain deals for really smart good, productive vets.
Yep.
Because some of these guys who are getting released, and I feel bad for them because I think in a normal non-COVID year where the cap is increasing, right, they would have gotten a lot more. Just terrible timing, obviously, with what's going on. But there's going to be some vets that you're going to get on a pretty good bargain for a year, at least.
Yep. Yep. And that'll be where Andrew Berry ought to be able to make a little bit of hay up in Cleveland.
Yeah.
We'll get into the Bengals side of things and what they didn't do coming up. Coming up next, we hit Hey Guys. Get your questions in.
Yes.
Hashtag Hey Guys. Anything is on the table. We will answer them. You want bourbon selections? We can do that. Landscaping tips from threes? You can do that.
How to
build a home
tips.
Ice rink.
I'm
although
trying to survive we'll
probably,
over here.
Probably, oh, that's true as well. We'll hit all of that. Your Buckeye football questions, you want those too. We can take care of it. Hit us up, hashtag HeyGuys at BLS971 on the Twitter. We'll take care of you with that. That's coming up next. Then Ben Baby at the bottom of the hour on the Bengals, what they didn't do, what they're trying to do. That's all coming up in the second hour here on a First Friday Miracle. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Open early for all your sports discussion needs. Now back to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Boy, you can talk all you want about the Jackets, but that line from Shark hits home, doesn't it? 27 games, 10 wins. I mean, that's
puts
where it is.
In perspective.
Yeah. We can look
not
at points. We can look at all that stuff.
Yeah. It's points, games in hand. Well, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. Tough sledding. Little bit of pure joy on a First Friday Miracle. Time for Hey Guys, hit a chopper.
Nothing is off limits. Your participation is required. Just use the hashtag Hey Guys and ask Bishop and Laurinaitis anything you want. Do it now.
All right, and we are going to do it now. So we're going to start here with a question from Alex. Hey guys, wife is going on vacation this weekend and I'm home alone with a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. How do I survive? Hashtag send help.
Holy cow, and that is a tough age.
Here's my first
going
advice.
On vacation multiple days.
Wow, strong. First of all,
good job out of you on the trust. The wife trusts you.
Yes, that's a win. Second, here's my only advice. I don't know how you survive. I'll put it this way. Whatever you do, though, even if things are burning down, right? You got the gas grill on. It's on fire. You have two kids crying. Do not reach out to your wife on vacation.
Great.
As if this is the end of the... Like, don't do it. Don't do it. Like, even yesterday, when Shelly goes for a run, and she's like, how's Remy? Fine. So I put back, she's fine.
Great.
She was screaming, crying. Miserable.
Yeah.
But I know that if I say she's awful, you know, whatever, it's going to be this whole thing. See, I knew I shouldn't have went running. I knew I couldn't do anything for my... You know, don't go down that path. Don't go down that path.
That's good. That's very sound advice. The other thing I would say is, if you're talking about multiple days, you're talking about a Friday night, a Saturday night, and probably a Sunday return, what I would say is going to be really critical for you is to sync up their schedules, and I'm sure you've already done that as a great father that you are, sync up their schedules, and in those moments where you have you time, live, brother, even if it's an hour.
Absolutely.
Whether it's sleep, cocktail, Madden, whatever. There's going to be some moments that you have to sync up some you time.
Yep. No
that's
question.
That's survival. One and
no
three,
question.
That's survival. That's all that is.
Yep.
There's no joy.
Russell says, hey guys, planning a wedding at the moment. What's more ballin' at the reception, a hand-rolled cigar lounge or a Don Julio bar?
Okay,
I'm not a cigar guy. So I think, you know, look, if you're AJ Hawk, who smokes about 6 cigars a day, it seems like, whenever I look at one of Pat McAfee's things, AJ's always in his little lab smoking a cigar. But although that would be interesting, you know, maybe it makes you feel like a boss rolling one up. I don't know. This is tough for me, man.
I think there's a clear answer here. You have a couple of things to consider. Number one, a handmade roll of cigar situation is going to be time consuming.
True.
Right. You're going to have to go over there. You're going to pick it. Most of the people that are going to be at your wedding don't have the first clue on what to do with the cigar, what one's good, what one's bad. They're not going to have any idea. So that's going to be time-consuming. Second of all, if it's an indoor situation, you're not going to be able to smoke them in there anyway. So you're going to have people walking around waiting for cigars, can't smoke them, going to have to go outside. That's going to piss off your wife. She'll be, where are all the guys? Why isn't anybody dancing? Oh, they're outside smoking cigars. So that's a loss. The third reason it's a loss is breath. You're going to want to take That's part true. Of this because you're the husband. And now you've smoked yes. a cigar and you're going to want to kiss your wife later at night.
Yeah.
You think she's going to want a cigar in her mouth later at night? No, of course not. Beyond that, the next morning, you're not going to get that out of your mouth. That's going to be there the next day, which is why cigars never took for me. On the other end, a Don Julio bar? Come on. Let's go. Not only is it a fantastic in any sort of a shot situation, it's fantastic as a cocktail. Think of all the things you could make. Paloma, margaritas, on the rocks with two limes. It's Don Julio bar by 100 miles, man.
I love it. I love it.
Josh has the next one. Hey, guys, what is one player from that team up north on each side of the ball you would have loved to have seen in a Buckeye uniform?
All time? That's a good one.
All time.
I mean, you go to the Ohioans, right? You go to Desmond and you go to Chuck Woodson. Those are the two that yep. jump out.
Charles
I mean,
Charles was the first one that popped in my head.
If either of those guys are Buckeyes.
I'm going to do someone else, though. Know. Since you're taking Charles, I'm doing someone else.
Go ahead.
Devin Bush.
Yeah.
I would have loved dude. To just have, because he was just a dude at LB, and with our LB tradition here, would have just absolutely loved him. In the scarlet and gray. Can you imagine him in like a single digit, just running in the middle, just laying fools out?
Yeah.
Would have absolutely loved it.
I think Jabril Malik Hooker would have been fun to have them both in safety. Would have been awesome. And I think Jabril gets a little bit, he gets a lot of bad. He's a really good player. He's a really good player. He wasn't, you know, shouldn't have been a
high. What about Braylon Edwards?
Talk. Yeah. I'll give you a recent one too, Donovan Peoples-Jones. Because if he were allowed to be cultivated under Brian Hartline, he's a second-round pick at worst with the physical tools he has.
If you let Mickey Marotti mold that body, how about that rhyme?
Let like body that? By Mick.
That just kind of
I
happened.
Did like that. Yeah, those are some that jump out. And the recent ones are interesting. How different is the narrative around John Cooper if Desmond Howard's a Buckeye and if Charles Woodson's a Buckeye?
Yep, absolutely.
Both Ohioans, yeah.
Yeah. I like that one. That's good. That's selfishly, just good friend, job. Just friend to friend wise, I Jake Long, just because our friendship would even be even deeper. Number one overall pick, left tackle. Yeah, that would have been nice. Just because then we could be even like Jake and I are really good friends. We talked yesterday for about a half hour, but you know, you can only go so far before you know the awkward conversation comes up. So your basketball team's good. He goes. Yeah, and I guess women's gymnastics is doing well. I had it on for Juliet the other night. I was like,
God bless him. Got to change the barometer a little bit.
No doubt.
This one from fan of the show, Cool Trav. Hey, guys, been spending the last three nights at the hospital with the baby boy. Is it acceptable to sneak in booze for a late night refreshment?
Congratulations, Cool Trav, first and foremost. Good job out of you. That's a miraculous time. I'm gonna say no, that it's not. I wouldn't be opposed to if somebody brought you in, you know, a celebratory toast of one of your spirits of choice. But as the man, that job, I viewed that job threes as whatever either the child or the wife needs.
Yes.
And you can't be thinking about yourself in any way at that moment. There's no time for you. You time is seconds eighth. It's so far down the list of priorities. So I agree.
I'm with you there. That's a moment where, anything for you is just, it's gone. It's out the window.
Yeah.
All right. Two specific ones for each of you back to back. First up, James. Hey, guys. Who was your favorite wrestler and least favorite? I suppose you could answer that one too, Bo.
Ooh, okay. So favorite wrestler was kind of a moving target, because you know there's two different eras. You know, like there's the old school era where it was all about targeting the kids, right? That's like Hogan, Macho Man, Ultimate Warrior. That's my dad by far. Because he was like a hero. As I got older and I'm like in middle school and it's like Attitude Era and it's Stone Cold and it's The Rock and all that, it became Shawn Michaels actually. HBK was my favorite. But then again, there was also this deep respect for The Undertaker. Like Undertaker was never like my favorite just because I liked HBK's like flash. I loved the whole like, I thought his sweet chin music was just incredible. And he actually was a phenomenal wrestler. And he was always involved in the big matches. He was going against The Rock and Stone Cold and Bret Hart and But it's like, but whenever the lights went out and Taker's bell hit, you kind of got spooked. It was a little sweet. So anyway, I don't know. I'll go with Shawn Michaels as my favorite. Least favorite? Boy.
It's hard because you maybe hated him at the time, but now you come to respect them and what they the role they played, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say this is more like a personal thing. I would say it was Road Dogg, and so it was Billy Gunn and Jesse James, so the tag team from DX. And the reason being is because they were using my dad and Hawk to get DX over. And what I mean by that is like my dad and Hawk was an era where they like even when they wrestled Stone Cold and HBK when they were a tag team, like they were about to win, and the next thing you know, DX comes down and hits him with a chair, and it's like, oh, okay, they're making them popular and putting them over, beating the Road Warriors. And I just hated the story writing. It wasn't anything about them. I just hated the way they were going with my dad and Hawk. That's it.
Yeah, I would go, my favorite as a kid was Macho Man. Just loved him. Absolutely loved him. In fact, he has a great promo.
You still eat Slim Jims today, don't you?
For sure, absolutely. I've got Bootsy now saying champion's prerogative because Macho Man said it in a promo, so anytime that's he does amazing. Something, I say to have him say champion's prerogative, which is amazing. And the guys that I hated were Rick Rude and Mr. Perfect and Bobby Heenan when I was a kid, but in retrospect, now I love them all.
Yeah.
Because they were so great at what they did.
Yeah.
The one group, and I didn't follow after, I was... Your dad's era, those guys were my guys. I mean, they were the tag team that I loved, was those guys. Loved the Hart Foundation. The other thing, though, that I hated, and I never understood it then, I don't understand now, is like the Bushwhackers. Or like, like, I didn't understand it. I just thought it sucked. They kept trying to make them something. It just was not interesting at all.
Bro, there were some tag teams there.
The Natural Disasters.
The Headbangers
were some really
later.
Dumb.
And then how about the Godwins? I was thinking about this the other day. Like, Vince has always been a little edgy. But the Godwins were like two hillbillies from Mississippi that wore overalls and brought like a slosh bucket. But the patches on their like, you know, holes on their knees were little Confederate flag stitching.
Right.
And I was like, oh, gosh, Vince.
Vince? Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, anyway, there's guys like that too. Val Venus comes as one that I hated. I did not like Million Dollar Man and you
but
know.
He's great now.
Oh,
when you
awesome.
Look back, you go, what a great heel he was.
money.
His laugh. I mean, it was great.
Yeah. Oh, it was great.
This from David for Bo. Last week on CBD, you mentioned there was a gentleman taking
a double dipper
outside of your window. Do we have an explanation for that? Crossover end of the century.
This really is George Clooney on Friends. I would say when he was at the peak of ER days, I would say this, nothing that I can comment on air. Nothing that we can comment on air. We got to the bottom of it, but
you gotta text me now off air. I need to know the story now.
Yeah,
I'm apologizing. I'll come out. I'm not listening to Browns Daily. I apologize for that.
Yeah. I'll just tell you it's
because you won't let me co-host it with you. So I just
I control everything.
You know, so I'm just sitting
just
over
a guy
here
on a mic
in the afternoons. You know. But meanwhile, I have to travel around the Big Ten landscape just to provide. And you're over here
just
to stay at home all day.
You
know?
Doing your own landscaping.
Massive estate.
Can't afford it.
Can't afford it. Sorry, hon. You wanted to switch to organic, you know, pesticides and all that. All these natural oils for, you know, keeping bugs away. Yeah. Well, then guess who has to do the edging?
Who's paying for
that? Me.
Who's
I have to do the edging now. And I have to do the trimming. Meanwhile, I have 85 cuts on my forearm trying to break this damn long grass and shove it into a recycled bag yesterday.
Last one for you guys. This is from Phil. Hey, guys, what's your go-to quick and healthy family meal when the entire family is busier than a honey badger at a Cobra convention?
God, what a great, what a well
Wait,
written.
Hold on. Say that again.
I love that.
Hey,
that
guys, what's your go-to quick and healthy family meal when the entire family is busier than a honey badger at a Cobra convention?
Stir fry. I can do a chicken or shrimp stir fry, really healthy, in 15 minutes.
Yep.
10 minutes. I mean,
yep.
Easy.
So the bride does this. It's all about preparation. Okay. What you need to do is you need to have something prepared on a Sunday. So Sunday afternoon, Shelly will make like a bunch of roasted veggies, some simple chicken, and like a huge thing of quinoa or rice in the pressure cooker, right? So you get all that prepared. And the idea is it's mostly for lunches, but it's in that frame of mind of like, hey, both girls have gymnastics. We were going to do a meal tonight, but they've both been little hellions. This is a nightmare. I don't feel like doing a damn thing. Throw that together. Put it in the microwave. Let's go. Yeah. It's preparation beforehand.
Yeah. I always have – there are several things that I always have ingredients for. I always have everything that I need for stir fry. I always have everything that I need for chili. Always have everything that I need for if I need to do like a pasta bolognese or something. Always have that. Those things are always there. So that if I because I do all the cooking. So if it gets to a point where I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's 5 o'clock. Black Cobra's got basketball in an hour and 15 minutes. I got something that I can do quick. Always got to be those, but the stir fry is the one I like the
best. You know what's not fun is trying to cook when you have a screaming baby. That's not fun.
No, you, then, I mean, you have to power through.
And the other
two
are yelling at each other, you know?
Yeah, you power through. Yeah. Kindly leave is my line.
When you're getting yelled at essentially by four women, that's not fun. Shelly does most of the cooking in our house, though, so. Yeah. Which means that you know, Remy's screaming at me, like, why do you have me? You have nothing for me.
Let's be
Dad.
Real clear here that. Part of the reason I do the cooking is to avoid the wrestling of the children.
Mm.
I mean, because then that's her. She's got the blonde's got to do that because I'm doing the cooking.
Yeah.
So you got to sort out the issues. Now there's less issues now, so now she just gets to chill and like have a glass of wine. But in the old days, that got me out of those things. So, all right, good job out of you on the Hey Guys. All right, coming up next, what exactly is the Bengals' plan? We will attempt to answer that at 10:30, Ben Baby will give us hopefully a more significant answer in terms of what they're trying to do in free agency with this team as they build it around Joe Burrow. That's coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
All the dumb things we say are on demand when you want them. Just utilize the computer chip we've implanted into your brain. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Meet or on the rocks. Just act accordingly.
Starts with a glass of bourbon, then goes to, First Blood's on. I think I'll watch this again.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And brought to you by our great friends at Window Nation. If you're in need of search and replacement windows, check them out at windownation.com. They will take care of you the way that they take care of us. So you draft Joe Burrow. He's off to a fantastic start. His knee gets shredded. Yep. He's on pace and on track for a recovery, certainly. But, you know, we've seen this before with the Bengals. No reason to believe he won't come back, but, you know, how long did it take Palmer to get back? You've lived this with Sam Bradford. Sometimes a young guy, it takes a while.
Yeah.
In the meantime, as an organization, your time is now to build something around him because you have a very – what was looking like a very good young quarterback, and you don't have to pay him. So you can pay everybody else, right? You've got draft picks. You can be active in free agency. You can do all of these things. And yesterday, I mean, I'm curious what Ben Baby, and he'll join us here in about 10 minutes, what he says about this. I was surprised they didn't franchise take Carl Lawson.
Same.
I think he's a stud. I know the Browns want him.
Yeah. For one, Carl Lawson, in my humble opinion, I think that's a bigger get if you're the Browns. It won't have the sexy name to it, but you can't tell me that's not a bigger get than J.J. Watt would have been.
I think it is, and I think they view it the
younger,
same way.
Younger, bigger upside, and in my opinion, bigger, better scheme fit. You talk about a guy who's going to be a true edge, you know, rusher versus JJ, who would do more stuff on the interior, which he can do. But you're talking about a guy who's younger, who is still in his prime, an ascending player. I think that's Carl Lawson. Now, this is what the Browns were out the way. What's the money look like, right? And you're going to be looking across, and you got to hope that if you're a Browns fan, somebody doesn't offer drastically overpay him. Not overpay him as if he's overpaid, but you get what I mean. Overshoot. Yeah. Every team's going to set what they think a player is worth, and then they let the market get to a certain amount to where they say, we just can't do that. We're not going to do that to handicap ourselves. Now, I think the Browns are in a better situation than they've been in the past, Bo, in the sense that in the past you might have had, we have so many positions to worry about. We can't be too aggressive on one guy. I don't think they're there. Where they have so much to do on their roster, but they still don't want to be outlandish with this. I think it's going to be interesting, but I think that'd be a huge home run for Cleveland if you roll out Myles Garrett and Carl Lawson. But if you're the Bengals, what are you doing?
I have a hard time with it. I empathize with Bengal fans because I don't understand it. Like, he's a young guy. His PFF grades are great. He is somebody who is only going to get better. He's been very productive. He's 25. You drafted him. You procured him. You would think that you would want him to be an integral part of your defense going forward for many, many years. And so to not keep him is surprising to me. And, I mean, let's be honest. They're not going to be active in free agency. They were last year for the first time in forever. But my guess is they're not going to go get Bud Dupree. And, frankly, I'd rather have Lawson than Dupree anyway. So, you know, it's hard for me to understand it other than, and it's just entirely, it stinks to say it, but just a same old Bengals mentality.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows the stories of free agents going in there and, you know, flying them in on coach and making them wear their own workout gear to work out and making them, you know, pay for cabs and not sending cars. I mean, just the way that they run everything. Now, everything you hear is that since Katie Blackburn's been there, it's been different. Like, since she's had more power and that, since Mike Brown has taken a little bit of a step back. But they've got a lot to overcome at that point. And it's a tough spot to be a Bengals fan. And it's one thing that, even though it hasn't gone up until recently, it has not gone right for the Haslams and before that, even the Lerners when they owned the Browns and the relaunch of the Browns. The one thing that you couldn't argue is that the ownership was willing to spend because they paid for their mistakes.
Yep.
Big. Yep. I mean, they're paying 3-4 coaches. You know,
because they
weren't the right fit. Well, now they got the right guys. Yeah. They've got the right front office. They've got the right head coach. And they have always spent money on players. And they've always taken care of players. It's the reason that they were able to sign guys like Sheldon Richardson, who could have played other places.
Yeah.
It's a reason that that Jarvis Landry signed an extension and stuck around because they treat people the right way.
Yeah.
And the Bengals have to fight that already. And now there's this. Now you're not keeping a guy like Lawson, who is going to be highly coveted,
Yeah.
And if you think, like, just think about from the Browns' perspective how important that defensive end is opposite Miles.
Yeah.
And you think about how Von Miller was unlocked when they got DeMarcus Ware.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's all about game planning. You can't, where are we going to put our resources on this offensive line and protection? And it all goes hand in hand. So when you get to Marcus Ware and Von Miller and you say to yourself, oh, my guys, well, how are we going to block? Okay, so then we're going to keep 6 in or 7 in. Okay, well, then we only have three-man route. We're going to live this way all game long.
Right.
So that we can throw the ball and they can put 7 in coverage for 3. Like what? It's a huge issue. And let alone the fact, okay, we're going to release 5. All right, can you hold up then? Better be all quick game because our ends are getting there. So that's what, you know, two dudes do for you. And if you're the Bengals, you went from starting last year with Dunlap and Lawson and now you have neither on the roster.
Yeah.
Dunlap cut from Seattle. He's a free agent again.
Right.
And you have yourself in a situation where you're like, oh, come on, man. Like, I'm supposed to be, as a Bengals fan, because of Joe Burrow, you're thinking, yes, stars are going to want to stay here now because of Joe. And then some might want to actually come to Cincinnati because of Joe. And then you let one of your best go.
Yeah.
I thought we were building now. We finally got our guy. I thought that the moment of like letting people go to then hopefully build are over because we have our dude at quarterback. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doesn't make sense.
And yesterday the Browns cut Adrian Claiborne, which frees up $3 million. Olivier Vernon won't be back. I'm guessing that things are starting to move a little bit, and they maybe know who they're going after to play off.
Why don't you just tell us what
they spend money?
I mean, you would know.
Oh, you pay attention to the scores, threes. It's all there for you. It's all there for you.
I mean, what Jimmy say? You know, you're with him all the time.
It was his birthday yesterday, so we had cake.
Yeah.
Ben Baby joins us next. He covers the Bengals for ESPN. Get his take on what's going on down in Cincinnati. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Time for the Chris Holtmann Daily Show. Brought to you locally on The Fan by Credit Union of Ohio and by the Stuckey Firm.
This is the Chris Holtmann Daily Show brought to you by Encova Insurance. This is such an unusual year, Chris, for so many reasons, but the NCAA granting a free year of eligibility to student athletes, and this may be a question that's got the cart before the horse, but I would imagine that's going to be some very detailed discussions on how to potentially handle that if it does come into play.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all, you know, something as soon as the rule came into place, you begin to think about that. Our two seniors, CJ Walker, will definitely professionalize. He's got a young daughter and a family that he's going to need to provide for, and we fully support him on that. And I think, you know, Kyle will have a decision, you know, after the season, once the dust settles and he has a chance to kind of, you know, take a break. Obviously, we all know Kyle, how much he loves Ohio State. He'll have a decision to make. We'll support him either way. We'd love to have him back, but we'll support him either way.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Their favorite sport is berating their producer.
You just sat there for 10 minutes.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you here. Time to head out on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline for a visit with our good buddy Ben Baby. Covers the Bengals for ESPN. And Ben, no tag on Lawson, huh? You surprised?
Yeah, you know, not really, to be honest. When you look at it, when you're looking at what the Bengals were being asked to, and always, and as always, it's good to be on with y'all. They were gonna, you know, if they were gonna use the tag, they were gonna use a tag on a guy that has 5.5 sacks in 2020. Now, from the Bengals standpoint, that was something they did not want to do. But when you look at Lawson's advanced numbers, I think he's a lot more productive than that. And when you look at what he was asked to do in the scheme, I thought he did very well. And you know, he made it a point. You know, I asked him, you know, if there were things in the scheme that could help him out a little more. And he said, basically, I'm not answering that. And I just kind of do whatever they tell me to do. And so, you know, Lawson, I thought, did very well. And given the circumstances, given what was asked of him, I thought Lawson, you know, probably is deserving of a big contract, and I imagine he'll get one. And here's the other thing, too, though, is that does Lawson want to come back to Cincinnati? I think that's the one thing that everyone just assumes. Oh, you know, of course he'd want to come back. That may not necessarily be the case. And so if you franchise tag a guy who doesn't want to be here, yeah, it sets you up for some potential problems, you know, especially last year when you look at what happened with Carlos Dunlap. That became a very messy situation. And you'd like your players all to be satisfied, especially your star players, to be satisfied in where they're at and keep them happy. And so I think there's a lot of dynamics to that equation as to why they didn't tag Lawson. I think it all made sense. From the beginning, it just never seemed like it makes sense for him to come back to Cincinnati. In 2021, I think I have him pegged as a double-digit sack guy somewhere else. So, you know, the fact that they didn't use it on Lawson wasn't a massive surprise.
Ben, how do you deal as an organization or a franchise with the PR aspect of this? Because the layman fan will look and be like, oh, Cincinnati's just letting one of their top guys go. Because somebody is going to pay Carl Lawson. And he's going to go somewhere with a nice contract. And the look for better – you mentioned a great point with whether Carl Lawson actually wants to be in Cincy or not. We don't know. But there will be the perspective of another Bengal just leaves. And you think the momentum with Joe – and I understand Joe's coming back from injury and all that – is kind of like the build process is – we got the guy at quarterback. Let's continue to build. How do you deal with that as a franchise – to where maybe in-house they're not thinking it's the end of the world if Carl Lawson goes, but a lot of people on the outside of Cincinnati will look at it as, yeah, that's just another dude trying to get out of Cincy.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point and a great question. And, you know, with Lawson and William Jackson as well, another one of their draft picks who's going to be on the market, I think he'll probably be in for a decent contract this offseason as well. I mean that's going to be part of the problem when you're trying to sell a fan base saying, hey, you know, this is something we want to do. And, you know, the fact that, you know, to be honest, you know, that this should have been done a while ago. If you wanted to lock Lawson up to a long-term deal, I mean, you should have had this done well before. And the fact, if you're trying to contemplate, oh, do we want to do a franchise tag? You know, I think they probably could have worked out better financial terms than whatever the franchise tag would have offered them on a one-year deal. So I think there are some questions over, you know, I think there's a lot that needs to be answered. And Zach Taylor, we'll talk today here in about 20 minutes. So we'll get a little more answers as to why they didn't tag Lawson, what their plans are for that defense. But, you know, last offseason, the front office made it a point to go out and spend a ton of money on the defense. I think this offseason they're going to need to show as well that they're committed to spending and doing the things they need to do to improve the roster, to sell the fans that they are interested in building a championship team and to sell not just the fans but Joe Burrow as well.
Yeah, Ben, I think that's the logical next place to go. All right, you don't want to pay Lawson, and you're talking about the 5.5 sacks. And by the way, I agree with you. I think he's far greater than those sack numbers would lead you to believe. And I got a pretty decent authority that a team up 71 North probably feels the same way about him, would have a great deal of interest in pairing him next to Myles Garrett. And that potentially could be how this thing all sorts itself out. But the next logical question is, okay, what's the plan? You've got a team in the division in Cleveland that won 12 games, that is going to spend in free agency with adjusted cap, has the most money to spend in free agency of anyone in the NFL. The Steelers are a team that at one point was undefeated and going for a first round, and they've seemed to have sorted out a lot of their salary situation here and can actually get under the cap. Obviously, some casualties there with Bud Dupree and others. And then you have a Ravens team that feels like it's close with a guy who was the MVP 2 years ago. And then Cincinnati, everything was great. Burrow goes down, and now you have this offseason. What is their plan? What's the objective? What do you want to be by the time we tee it up and start playing football in September? And how do they put that plan into place over the course of the next couple of months?
You know, that's a great question. And when you look at it, I mean, the Bengals were the only team in the AFC North not to make the playoffs, which kind of tells you kind of where things stood at the end of 2020. And you know, year three under Zach Taylor, we were supposed to see what the finished project was going to be for this rebuild. And, you know, the more I look at it, the more I wonder if they're really at that point yet. And there's still so many concerns on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, they chalk all of this up to injuries. But the fact of the matter is injuries are just part of the game. And you've got to be able to build your franchise good enough to withstand some injuries over time. And so I think that, you know, right now they said that, you know, we talked to Duke Tobin early in the week, their de facto GM. And he said, we're going to build around Burrow. Which leads me to believe that, you know, this could be an offensive heavy offseason with, you know, filling the pieces that you need on defense. But, you know, I think philosophically, if you have an offense that can put up a ton of points, you're going to be in just about any ball game that you're in. And you know, Kansas City's a great example of that. But, you know, the Bengals need to figure out what exactly that strategy is, what that long-term outlook is going to look like. And, you know, especially with Zach Taylor on the hot seat entering this year, they're going to need to show some substantial progress. Otherwise, you're looking at a rebuild that is probably a lot longer than anybody anticipated, and while the other rivals in the division are just going out and competing at a high level.
Ben, so give the listeners some names of guys that you think are realistic targets for the Bengals come free agency. You know, whether you could say positions, but specific names that you think, you know what, this might be a guy that they target on either side of the football. Just so the fans understand that they can get their hopes up about some guys coming in there, right? Because, I mean, really, you're right. You should build around Joe Burrow. And you would think that this build, and I'm with you. I don't think the build is anywhere near over. But as it kind of ramps up, you have the most important position, assuming Joe comes back healthy. So what are some names that would be, I guess, targets for the Bengals?
Yeah, you know, Joe Thuney is going to be the big one that everyone points to, and the Bengals have the cap space to do this. The question is, are they going to go out and spend that kind of money on a guard? You know, when the Patriots did not use the franchise tag on him this year, you know, he's going to be on the market. The Bengals will have the ability to contend for him in free agency, and I think he's going to be, you know, a top target. The Bengals need to go find an offensive guard that they can put out there. In my mind, it's as bad as that offensive line was, and there's a lot of talk there. Given the talk about Penei Sewell being potentially the number five pick in the draft, I think guard is really the issue with that line, and we saw that last year when Burrow got hurt and just that inconsistency in the middle of the interior. I think that's the one area that they really need to target. Outside receiver is going to be another one. We've heard some names thrown out there. You know, Will Fuller is the type of guy that could potentially be on the market. You know, we'll see what happens. I think you need a guy to replace or to A.J. Green's role on the field. I think that's going to be one. I mean, you've got Tyler Boyd. You've got T. Higgins. You know what they bring to the table as receivers. But you would like a third receiver, a speed guy who can help open up that offense. And then you look on the defensive side of the ball now that you don't have Lawson, you don't have Jackson. You need to go out and you need to go find a defensive end. You need to go out and get at least one outside corner. You definitely need a slot corner to replace Mackenzie Alexander. So, you know, the lists or the needs are quite large, you know, for the Bengals, and they've got to go attack that and be aggressive in free agency. Otherwise, you're looking at a prolonged rebuild, and I don't think that's what anybody needs at this point.
No, certainly not. Ben, excellent stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate your time.
Yep, thanks, y'all.
All right, that's Ben Baby, covers the Bengals for ESPN. It's tough sledding, man.
It is.
It's tough sledding.
And it is.
It's one thing to have, you know, guys that you want to try to sign in free agents. Another thing to get them there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you're going to be in a situation.
The hard thing is you need to send a message to the rest of the National Football League. For one, you take care of guys that you've picked. You keep them in-house. Guys want to stay here. They want to be a part of this here. And then you entice those said guys to then talk to other guys who are free agents and try to recruit them to your organization and convince them, come to Cincy. Yeah, but y'all don't have it indoor. It doesn't matter. Come to Cincy. we'll get through it.
Right.
Yeah. But if you don't keep your own guys home or they don't want to stay home, how are you going to convince new guys to come over there without throwing a ton of cash at them and putting your team in a bad situation money-wise?
Yeah, overpaying.
Quarterback helps, but I mean, you got to take Carl. You got to keep Carl there. You got to keep
– yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not great. Not great, no. Certainly. Time for Thing or Not a Thing. That's coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Proud to be your flagship home for Ohio State Athletics. The Jackets, Crew Soccer, and Bobby Carpenter's uncomfortably vascular arms. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. First Fridays are a thing. Drinking bad bourbon is not a thing. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, time for a little Thing or Not a Thing. Chopper's here. Hit a chopper.
Bishop and Laurinaitis. Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Geico Insurance.
Here we go on a first Friday. Chris Vanini with this. Per Les Miles' settlement agreement with Kansas, he's paid almost $2 million and the sides won't sue each other. There's also a non-disparagement clause if you're wondering why last night's statement didn't mention the LSU investigation. Thing or not a thing?
I don't know any other profession. I'm a man, I'm 40. I don't know any other profession other than coaching on the college level and the pro level where you get paid your salary whether you're fired with cause or not.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to like work
Isn't
somewhere
that remarkable?
Get fired and be like, you know what, but we're gonna keep paying you for 2 years.
Yeah. You're gonna see every penny of it. So you suck.
Here's what I understand.
But
this is
you got your cash.
Such a this is a friend of mine situation.
Yeah, if you're the whole thing was.
Like, if you're Kansas's president, don't you just say, hold on a second.
Wait,
why are we paying
doing?
This guy still? We have everything to fire him with cause.
With cause, yeah.
What are you doing?
UConn did that with Kevin Ollie, who's their guy. Like, he's a UConn legend, and they fired him with cause to try not to give him any money.
I'm surprised at this.
Yeah.
From ESPN Stats and Info, this week Gonzaga extended its streak of 25 win seasons to 14, the second longest in Division I history. Kansas has an active streak of 15 straight that is still on the line this season. They're currently 19-8. And Duke has an active 13-season streak entering 2020-2021 that will be snapped this season. Thing or not a thing?
It's an enormous thing. This is one of those programs in sport that went from Cinderella to Goliath. And I realize I mixed metaphors, but they're Duke of the West. And they've got this year's team is loaded. They got a scare last night with BYU. I watched some of it. They got five or six pros. That's a long way from Casey Cavalry and Dan Dickow and Adam Morrison and the guys they had 20 years ago playing for them, who were all nice players. But this is something else now.
I had never heard of Gonzaga until I think they beat Bobby Jackson and Mike Gophers in the March Madness.
Didn't Dan Monson end up coaching Minnesota? Wasn't he coaching Minnesota? Because he was the original coach at Gonzaga, and Mark Few took the job. Mark Few's turned down every job. He stayed there.
Yeah, and that's the first time I heard of him. And be honest, until you mentioned where they are located, like yesterday, I had no idea.
Yeah. Spokane's a great town, right near Lake Coeur d'Alene. Beautiful.
Lakes. Huge win.
Yep.
Sporting News has awarded a college basketball player of the year every year since 1958, and only six people have won it in consecutive years. Oscar Robertson, 58, 59, and 60. Jerry Lucas, 61 and 62. Bill Bradley, 64 and 65. Bill Walton, 72, 73, 74. Michael Jordan, 83 and 84. And Luca Garza. Thing or not a thing?
Boy, that's company. That's company. Yeah, he's great. He's a great college player. And did you see, Chops, the incredible controversy with Roy Marble's family?
I did see that. That's unfortunate right now.
Yeah, so Roy Marble, who's the first Iowa basketball player I can recall, he and B.J. Armstrong on some incredible teams in the late 80s, early 90s, I think. And he's the all-time leading scorer at Iowa until Garza broke it. His jersey is not retired. And Garza's is, and his family was quite upset with it. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, look, all I know is that the Chops, we get it. You love Luca Garza. We get it. Thank you.
I just pointed it out.
No, we get it, bro. I love him too. He's great.
According to Pro Football Focus, Brown safeties earned the worst cumulative grade in the league last season at 48.2. Thing or not a thing?
How much of that was Sadejo?
Oh, jeez. Well, here's the deal. The safeties that they intended to be there
weren't there.
And weren't there. So, you know, Grant Delpit was going to be one of those guys. Obviously, they blew it a bit on Sandejo. I was surprised they kept running him out there. Carl Joseph got better as the season went along. And I thought Ronnie Harrison was really, really good when he was healthy. You know, he just wasn't healthy that much. So I think that position group, because I think they'll attack it in free agency or the draft as well, has a position to go from one of a real thorn in their side to a real bright spot if Delpit can get back to what he was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so really this grade is all in their backups. I think Sandejo probably was a... was he like the smarts back there? Was he the communicator?
Yeah, they wanted him to basically be the mentor to get Delpit ready. Like they wanted him to be the one to do that, and then he ended up having to play all the time.
Look, he's a vet, you know, he's older, and you can know what routes are coming and still not be able to stop them. I mean, trust me, I've been there. You're on a forever. Hey, I know he's going to run a deep over, and it's hell, it's Vernon Davis. He runs a 4.3. I can't keep up. All right, I got a head start. What do you want me to do, coach?
E.J. Liddell made the coach's version of this, but the All-Big Ten first team selected by the media has three centers, Kofi Coburn, Luka Garza, and Hunter Dickinson, plus a forward who has taken 0 3-pointers this year, Trace Jackson Davis. I would assume he rounds out the top five. Thing or not a thing?
Basketball is going with the way
basketball's going. The media just will not give up. On
well, this is
basketball.
The coaches, or this is the media. Coaches? This is the media. No, this is the media. Media. This is the media.
Yeah.
Look, I think on these, especially in basketball, the coaches get it right because they are game planning for it. This isn't like, you know, Urban Meyer voting in the coaches poll or Ryan Day voting in the coaches poll when they're coaching college football, where they're not watching all the teams. Like you're preparing for every team.
This
so
is
the coaches
different.
Get it right.
You're yes. Yeah.
You play and you see everybody. The media here. The one thing I will applaud them for, and I will say is a thing, is to just pick the five best players regardless of position, because basketball is largely becoming positionless anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know more about basketball than I do, so I'll take your word for it. But I was just going to dog the media.
Well, that's fair, too. You
but now we are media, so I mean, I don't know. I guess it makes sense.
We're radio. We're sports talk radio.
Oh, okay.
We're not
okay.
Media. Yeah.
Yeah, that starting five would be talented, but I'm not sure how effective. Last one, via NBC Sports Northwest, a recent email sent out to Seahawks season ticket holders mentions receivers DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, plus offensive coordinator Shane Waldron and new run game coordinator Andy Dickerson, but it doesn't mention Russell Wilson. Thing or not a thing?
Huge thing. I mean, that's huge.
What are we doing?
Honestly, there's not even enough time to give this a proper context of how huge this is.
It means everything. It does. It means that they are not firmly committed at this moment that he will be a Seattle Seahawk.
You better believe
it. In the most plain of terms, that's it. But how about my man Andy Dickerson? He was like assistant O-line coach at the Rams forever, now going up to Seattle. Run game coordinator? I got to text Andy. You don't know run game football like that, bro.
They're not going to have Carson back if they don't have Russell Wilson, and yet you're talking about you show a run game coordinator, and by the way, you talk about two receivers.
If you ever had to blist your staff over your starting quarterback, that's a huge issue.
Yeah, and the most accomplished. Well, I don't know about most accomplished. Steve Largent's pretty accomplished, but
he's pretty good.
Certainly one of the most popular players in the history of your franchise. So, yeah, that is a lot to that one. We will take a look back on what the Jackets didn't do last night. An interesting comment coming out of the University of Michigan in regard to Jim Harbaugh, plus some big good news on the NHL front in terms of where you will be able to watch their games going forward. Greg Wyshynski at the bottom of the hour on the NHL, senior writer for ESPN, plus your first Friday officially endorsed. It's all coming up in the final hour. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
There's only one way to start your day, and that's with the soothing tones of Morning Juice. Soothing.
Weekday mornings at 6.
The Fan. If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Man, I'm still floored by that last one, the Russell Wilson one. Do you know, like, you would know this, obviously, but just
the
for
petty.
The fans out there.
I love the petty, man.
The amount of, before something like that, the amount of consideration something like that, an email to season ticket holders gets, the amount of consideration that gets from everybody in the organization would blow your mind. Mm. the amount of conversation, dialogue. What are we doing? What's our brand? What are we trying to say with this? Mm-hmm. So the idea that he was left off,
yeah,
is obviously purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
he's so hard to trade, though.
Yeah,
and
yep.
I mean, even a Russell Wilson. I mean, so the only teams left that he on his list were what? Dallas, the Saints. I'm sorry, Cowboys, Saints, and who was the other one? He had four.
Raiders.
Oh yeah, Raiders. Raiders. So
Gruden would be fired up there.
Yeah, he would. So you've all right. So that then, I mean, the Bears.
But and you what would the Bears it, possibly you want? Missed it. You missed it. They
what?
Mayock came out and said that Derek Carr's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and they're super happy with him. So they're not going for Russell Wilson.
Yeah. They did not have a good first year of free agency, did they? Go look at all the guys they signed.
No. No.
You played with LaMarcus Joyner, didn't you?
Certainly did.
Yeah. What do you think of him, real quickly? I was talking to somebody yesterday about him from the Browns' perspective, as not as a nickel corner, but as a safety.
Yes. I like that. He's not the best in coverage. If you put him at nickel, you got to blitz him.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal blitzer. Because he plays with reckless, dude's got the longest arms in the world for how short he is.
Yeah.
Honestly. Super strong, too. Tough for how little. Anyway, but he's a different bird. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
He's a different bird. I liked him as a teammate, but just very just different. I don't even know how to describe him, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I like him as safety because he's very athletic and very active. Just,
yeah, I think they'd like to play some three safety stuff.
He can...
And I think I think you could see them with him. Malik Hooker, I think, could be interesting for them as a third safety guy. I mean, I think those are some of the guys you think about. But the mention of Joyner yesterday, and I thought, yeah, that might be interesting. Not as a corner, but as a kind of a third safety.
Yeah,
blitz guy.
Yeah.
Would be, and he's pretty good at that. He's grades pretty well at that in the safety position versus what he does at corner. So
yeah,
might be a fit there. But interesting stuff on the Russell Wilson front. One other thing that happened today was the NFL salary cap numbers out. 182.5 is the number. I think most people were expecting it 185, 186. It's less than that. It's actually down about $16 million from what it was even last year.
Mm.
The one thing I would say, though, is it's a little deceiving. There's so many ways around the cap. And obviously, if your owner has the straight cash to put money in escrow, you can do guaranteed contracts. Remember, the Chiefs last year signed their three players to like $600 million in contracts, and were still able to come in under the cap. So there's ways to do it if you have the right ownership and the right front office to be able to pull it off.
Yeah.
One thing I would add to it, though, you also have that doesn't take into account rollover cap. So, for example, the Browns are rolling
over. Like rollover minutes? Like cell phone minutes back in the day? A little rollover? I didn't use this many. Yeah.
Give me those for next month when I really need to call home. No, so the Browns actually have the most salary cap room in the NFL because they're rolling over about their salary cap number will be like $211 million because they're about $25 million in cap space is what it's going to end up being because they were able to roll over a bunch of money they didn't spend. The Colts have a bunch that they rolled over as well. So just to kind of have some clarity on that because I think sometimes we hear the cap and you think, oh my gosh, how are you going to make it work? And there's always ways to make it work.
I treat the cap like I treat the cloud. I have no idea how it works, but somebody does.
It's a good
right?
I mean, how it works
somebody does.
Yeah, I don't know. I pay for more space in it, but I don't know what I get.
I have so much space in the cloud that is just
I don't know.
Another USB to add photos from 2019, 2020 off my cloud onto an actual USB because we put our photos of the girls.
And,
which, by the way, real quick on a separate thing, it's almost pathetic. And if Rothman, if you're listening, maybe turn it down. But it's almost pathetic how many photos I used to take of our dogs before we had children. I'm embarrassed.
Well, take it a step further.
Birthday cakes, all that.
Oh, sure.
We haven't had a dog birthday cake for the dogs since a child was born,
No.
That's why when I see when I have people or friends who's like, doggy parent, I'm like, okay, it's not the same.
No.
Anyway, not the same. You know, because guess what?
The one thing I would add,
I
though,
tell my dog, my dog's been in the yard all day. He loves it. He's Titus and Grace are bathing in the sun right now. What? I mean, they love it. They're laying in the grass, time of their lives. They get up, they go take a dump. I can pick it up today. I can pick it up in a week if I want. I don't know. I know when Remy lets a blowout happen. Yeah, that thing's. You better change that within 5 minutes unless you want to give her a full bath.
Right. The other thing, don't you notice that I and I, you know, I don't know how I'm going to address this with the two younger two, but the amount of pictures you took of London versus the other two. I basically with Peyton Black Cobra, I basically took a picture of him every 6 seconds.
Oh gosh, yeah.
In retrospect, like when I go and look back at like my old phones or look back at the old photos from those years, I basically documented his every breath. And then by the time
Shelley's
I got to Bootsy,
Shelley's been so intentional about this because everyone, I think she took it as like a challenge because everyone said the same thing. Like, you're not going to have any And then they said, I don't know if you've done this. Our challenge has been continuing to take photos of them individually as like London gets to the 6-year-old stage.
Sure.
Because, you know, everything's all together or get around the baby. Yeah. Everything's, you know, to where that was the other thing. So, but anyway, we have so many videos of their bad moments too. Like, we just rewatched yesterday London headbutting the floor when we went to Louisville. We tried to meet up when we lived in Nashville, and then we tried to all meet up in Louisville because my dad was in St. Louis and my brother's in Dayton. So we're like, hey, let's just meet up at Louisville for a weekend. There's a pool at the hotel. We'll go to the zoo. We'll do whatever. And anyway, she did not want to leave the pool. And so it's her headbutting the carpet floor and the door, trying to go back, having a screaming fit. And then that's mostly Hayden. It still goes on with Hayden from 0 to almost 4.
Oh, yeah. I've got the videos of them crying over not eating, you know.
Yeah.
I remember specifically Beamsy just refusing to eat sea bass. Just wouldn't have it. Just wouldn't have it. And now he loves it, but he wouldn't have it at the time. And I video him just screaming as we were trying to force him to eat it when he was.
I've opened up a can of worms. We got London eating sushi.
Yeah.
This is awful.
All the boys eat it.
I told Shelley, what are we doing? The kid has a little Tesla in the garage. Radio flyer Tesla,
that's right.
And then she's eating salmon
great
sushi
battery
rolls.
On that thing.
What are we doing?
No, it's fantastic. It's good. You expose me to that. Bootsy just eats the rice.
It's not fantastic. And,
as opposed
it's not
to
fantastic.
The, it's I'm like, well, it's actually that part that you need
three
to
daughters.
Eat is the one in there.
It's expensive.
You'll be all right. This is from the Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel yesterday on Jim Harbaugh. Chop sent me this last night, and I guess. I will read to you his comment to ESPN.
It's unbelievable.
And then I'm curious what you think of it. But he says, given the contract, obviously, I'm willing to be patient. But he and I understand that we need to win. This is Michigan. Nobody wants to win more than Jim in football and me overall. We want success. So did I put a number to his first year? The answer is no. I think it's about as candid and honest as you can be. You have committed to, and it's beyond me why. I think I've seen enough. I don't think they have program momentum. Obviously, they're betting on the quarterback this year. Really needs to hit the freshman. Hmm. But I would have looked at Matt Campbell and I would have said, "What's it take? What's it take?"
Here's what a guy I'm confused about the comment.
Yeah,
you didn't just hire him.
Oh no.
Just hire this guy out of nowhere and be like, you know what, look, I'm going to be patient with Jim. He wants to turn Michigan football around. No, this is a guy who's been there. What has he been doing? That's what we hired him the first time and paid him more for. So you give him an extension, and you're talking to the media as if this is new. Like, oh, you know, I'm not going to put a number on it, but we know we got to win. He's been trying to win for years already.
And I think they're further away now than they were like 4 years ago.
Yes.
3 years ago.
Yes.
That's the thing that's troubling is that the program momentum isn't there. They had some program
momentum. I
asked Jake
last night. I go, Jake, were you surprised they kept Harbaugh? He goes, I am. He goes, and then his hires don't make a lot of sense. He hires a running back coach who's been a running back coach for 2 years in Baltimore and now says, come over and coach quarterbacks, and he's never coached quarterbacks before.
Yeah. No, I think he's lost his way. I don't think he knows how to do it. I think that there was a plan. There's a plan that he used at Stanford that had success, a plan that he used at the 49ers that had success, and you saw immediate dividends. I mean, they were respectable immediately.
In 2016, if they went
with Brady Hoke's kids.
Is the whole thing. The whole thing.
It's as big as anything because it's
they
momentum.
Beat us in 2016,
he probably doesn't also rethink everything, buddy. He doesn't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
He tries to keep the same thing. It's the same.
Correct.
the same path, the same Stanford thing. He got to that point and thought, okay, I got to rip it up. I got to change it. Maybe he just sticks with what he had and gets better quarterbacks and just stays in that scheme. Instead, he goes, starts going to the portal and all over, and now there's no enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
No, there's not. And he, like last year, seemed like a defeated man. And I think that he really wanted to get an NFL job this year and couldn't get one, so he stayed. And I don't think he really, in his heart of hearts, wants to be there. Do I think that he wants to win at Michigan more than anything? Yeah, I do. Do I think he knows how? No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think he does. And I think if you knew how, you wouldn't have changed course as many times as he's changed course in the time he's been there. And yeah, you can probably go back to 2016 and go, if that goes different, that's one of the great what-ifs.
Yeah.
It's one of the great what-ifs.
It is.
And Michigan was the better team that day. They were.
You felt like they lost the game.
Yes.
Right? They didn't, like, we didn't really win it, or like we took advantage of their mistakes, but they lost it. Like, they had it, and they lost it. There's just some games where you walk away and you're like, damn, we lost that. We screwed that up.
And they never got over it. They never got over it. In recruiting, in him personally, none of it. And they're further away now than they've ever been.
That's a good point. I haven't even thought about that. They're further away now than they were. Gosh, and that's, I mean, how do you extend that guy?
You're further away now than you were when he got hired. Campbell.
Yeah, and it should have given you at least a new, it at least tells the fan base, we're going in a direction that we think can get us somewhere else, right? You feel like you've already reached the peak of what Jim had to offer, and that was 2016.
Yeah, you've crescendoed. You're on your way down.
Against us in overtime. Yes, yes.
Yeah, is this a natural spot?
Because your roster talent should be deep enough that even during, this is my whole argument against Michigan and Penn State, your talents at those blue blood universities should be such that even during a pandemic, you should just roll your helmets out there and win because of the way you recruit, your system, your philosophies, all that. There shouldn't be this whole like, oh, it's COVID here. That's lame. No, where's your depth?
If you could do it at Northwestern, Indiana.
You had a middle linebacker opt out. Albeit talented middle linebacker opt out. But if we could have had two receivers opt out and still won the Big Ten.
It's not even fair to compare them to us, though, because that's...
No, but I'm saying like
there's
still...
I just want them to be Northwestern. I just want them to be like Indiana.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no excuse for Michigan to go to overtime against Rutgers. There's no excuse for Penn State to lose the games they won lost last year. It's just, it's frustrating because, like... The coach, the things are trying to spew out. Like, no, bro, you're Michigan, you're Penn State.
Yeah,
I mean, yes, you're not us, but you should be a step above all these other schools.
No,
Indiana
question.
Shouldn't have their way.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no. So it's a befuddling time for that program, and there's no end in sight to it. Perhaps an end in sight to the NHL and a befuddling decision that I think set the league back a long way could finally be coming to an end. We get to that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis, right here on the Fan.
Season ticket holder from day one? Us too. Now and forever, your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Day drinking responsibly with a touch of class. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And join the Fan, 10TV, and the Ohio Education Association. We honor classroom heroes. In these weird times, teachers and educators need our support and recognition more than ever. Nominate your classroom hero at 971thefan.com/heroes. Also, we're launching a brand new Fan store. All new t-shirts, hoodies, hats, masks, so much more. The official launch date is this Friday. Make sure you head to 971thefan.com to check out all the goodies. And I've seen this moving around on the social. We got a little First Friday act accordingly, which looks nice. Look forward to that launching and dropping.
Still want your recipe book.
Yeah, so the problem there is I got to find a way for me to keep all the money.
I know.
So that's the that's really what we're looking at there is the problem is. And then my motivation, you know, like am I really going to do that? My wife was she's like, "When are you going to why don't you do it? Why don't you just write a bunch down?" And I said, "Yeah, but then I got to work. Like I'm doing enough. Right. When's enough enough? When's some bow time?" When do I get to have a little time?
We already have an estate. What else do you want, woman?
Yeah, what do you want?
You know, I mean, come on.
Three vacation homes? Two isn't enough? I mean, how many do you need?
Yeah.
How much do I have to support here? I mean, come on. Throw me a bone.
I'm with you.
this few things, I think, from the health of the league did more damage than the NHL leaving ESPN.
Hmm.
And you say, well... oh, come on. I mean, everybody can find the product if they want it. This is, and that is true. You can find the product if you want it. But to a lesser degree now, but to a far greater degree then, ESPN was an army of one propaganda machine. And they pushed the things that were important to them. They set the agenda that this is important because we're talking about it. The best example of it is what they do every year with the women's basketball tournament, where they push the women's basketball tournament because they have the rights to the women's basketball tournament. So they push stories about women's basketball leading into the tournament to support their broadcast of it. When you have ESPN as a partner, you along with it comes things like The Jump.
Yep.
Okay? So what does that do? Well, The Jump gets pushed throughout and around all of the social media platforms, and then people start talking about the NBA because the ESPN even now is still the giant in the business. They still are, even with cord cutting and all of it. Another great example is NASCAR. When NASCAR went to ESPN and the amount of push that NASCAR had on ESPN. And the NHL left, and there was NHL Tonight, and there was Barry Melrose, and there's John Buchagrass, and there was Steve Levy hosting, and there was all of these things that were integral to the part of the NHL being pushed on ESPN. And when they left, at the time for Versus, and later for NBC Sports Network, and all of these things, all of a sudden, when it came time, and you heard this all the time, well, where are these games being played? CNBC, or, you know, because where do you find these games, right?
Right.
Yep. Everybody knows, whatever your cable provider is, whether you're, even if you do YouTube TV, any of that stuff, you know where ESPN is.
Certainly do.
Yeah. So this has not been confirmed by the NHL, but reportedly ESPN. ESPN and the NHL reportedly signed a 7-year deal as part of the league's new U.S. media rights package. ESPN would get the rights to broadcast 4 Stanley Cups between 2022 and 2028. Plus streaming rights for Disney and Disney Plus, so that's huge for ESPN on that front as they're trying to really push the Disney Plus part of it with the ESPN. I would imagine NBC would have the other Stanley Cups, but the majority would be on ESPN or ABC.
Yeah.
It's a big win for the league.
It is, and what's even a bigger win is this: we're going to have First Take and Stephen A. Smith really getting after it about Maple Leaf hockey.
You ain't wrong. You're not wrong.
No.
There will NHL Tonight will be back.
Yep.
I mean, all of those things will come back because they support their partners. I mean, there is something too when they got the SEC. I mean, I give them a lot of credit because they would go to SEC places even when the game was on CBS.
Yes.
They would go take game day to Bama LSU even if the game was on CBS. Like, they'd still do that. They deserve a lot of credit for that. They didn't just support games on their network, but now they have the SEC package.
Yep.
And they will support it.
It gives the sport credibility, and it's going to put it in the forefront. Like, the amount of highlights you'll see on SportsCenter stuff, you know, even though SportsCenter isn't as much as it used to be, right? Obviously, as far as, because people can see highlights whenever, but even when you throw it on, you know, like, and we all do it. I still do it every now and again. I'll throw SportsCenter on it.
Of course.
But what's different is that I'm not waiting for, like, one team's highlights. If I want the highlights, I'll Google it and I'll go whatever. I just have it on as background noise. Mm-hmm. But until you actually get to some hockey, and the only hockey you actually will see is, like, if Ovechkin or Sidney or, you know, Eichel or one of those dudes did something, McDavid, right? Other than that, you're not seeing Jackets highlights.
Oh, no.
So it's like the amount of hockey will be forced to cover, right, will increase naturally because it'll be better for their interest because it's on their network.
Yeah. No, it's a tremendous benefit. And if you're looking at it, an example, and I don't, maybe I'm still old fashioned this way, but even when I do the show prep in the morning and put the show together, I mean, I go to Twitter and then I go to ESPN.com. That's the second site I go to, right?
Yeah.
So if you go to that homepage right now, by the way, there's a great picture of EJ Liddell on the homepage right now. But if you go to the homepage right now, it has NFL, NBA, soccer, NCAA men, NCAA women, Major League Baseball. Those are the headers. If you want to find the NHL, it's on a drop down, and it's in the third line of the drop down.
Yeah.
The only things that, if you went, you know, in the normal way that you would read things up and down, left and right, the only things lower than it in the drop down are recruiting, basketball, tennis, and X Games. That'll change. That'll change. And there's a big benefit to that for the league. It's a big benefit to that. And you think about how well they pulled off the bubble, which was good. Bettman's had a couple of wins here. He's got a couple of wins here, and I think this is a nice one for him to get back on ESPN. Speaking of ESPN and hockey, Greg Wyshynski is the senior NHL writer for ESPN, and he will join us. Not sure what he can share on this, but certainly talk Jackets and the league at large coming up next. You have that to look forward to. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
The biggest guests, earth-shattering opinions, and Maddie making Anthony do push-ups during commercial breaks.
I can't feel my leg.
My bad, bro.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. The best in the Midwest. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, Bo Bishop, James Laurinaitis with you here. Time to head out on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. It's been far too long since we visited with our good buddy Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN. And that could reportedly have even more influence, my friend, this notion of the NHL coming home to ESPN, which James and I were just talking about on a reported seven-year deal. NHL has yet to confirm, but certainly you think of all of what that marriage could present, and I can't think of it being anything other than very, very positive for the league. I'm not sure what you can share, so I'm kind of putting you on the spot, of course. But just from a perception standpoint, this seems like a very big win for everybody.
I just want to say that I think not only is Gary Bettman the best commissioner in sports, but a great man. Is it okay to say he's a great man?
Like in tell
the totality
me, buddy.
Of men in the world, maybe top five. So no, this deal has had no influence on my work whatsoever.
It's amazing. I love it.
What a good job out of you, Greg.
Really good job.
Fantastic effort.
Yeah. Really good job. I'm wondering... here in town with the Columbus Blue Jackets, Torts a week ago says that they feels like they're kind of a tweener. They don't know really. They're kind of hinting at what we've been thinking all along. There's kind of a lack of identity with this Blue Jackets team. They used to be known as a tough physical bunch that was going to be a tough out for anybody and was going to play you a certain way, and they've kind of morphed into this half that, but half the team wants to play with skill. What's the outside overarching view from outside our town here on the Columbus Blue Jackets and the struggles they're having right now?
Well, first of all, it's kind of funny to have John Tortorella say that the team is a tweener when, I mean, historically outside of maybe one season, he's coached to the bubble every year, right? Like they're never really great and they're never really bad. This is the franchise under his stewardship has been the definition of being a tweener. But I know what he's trying to say as far as stylistically goes. And I guess if there was one surprise in looking at the Blue Jackets right now, it obviously isn't the offense. I mean, even with the addition of Line A, this was still going to be a team that sort of struggled with goal scoring. It's the defensive side of the puck that I think is the big surprise. I mean, you know, the Jackets being 25th in goals against right now in this league is not something that you expect from this team where, you know, fundamentally you could always count on it being a more solid and consistent defensive unit. Now, you know, does some of that have to do with some of the, you know, adversity in goaltending? Perhaps. But like Tortorella said, I mean, it could also just be a case of not everybody on this roster being on the same page as far as the way that they need to play in order to lock things down like they typically can.
You know, Greg, it's poor Aaron signed, great writer for The Athletic. Someone was asking him the question, are we closer to rebuilding or contending? I think we're closer to rebuilding, and that's a tough thing. And we were thinking back to, and still, you know, basking in the glory of that shocking upset of Tampa Bay and the thinking that you would be able to build off of that. This was a young team that you hoped could build together. But if you think of the names that were on that team, you think about Panarin and Josh Anderson and Pierre-Luc Dubois, even role guys like Murray and Wenberg. Obviously, Bobrovsky was on that team. They're all gone. They're all gone. And with it is some of that identity. And I think the one that jumps out at you is the one that hurts the most is Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, it was a risky pick when you picked him. You believed in him. He left. We still don't really know why. And Jarmo Kekäläinen lamented it, you know, recently as last week, as, you know, you try forever to get a number one centerman. We had one. He's not here anymore. It's hard to find him. Well, yeah, you drafted, identified, developed part of it, and now he's gone, and we don't know why. And it kind of is a microcosm of what's happened here, right? That's a tough pill to swallow. What can you tell us from your perspective on the Pierre-Luc Dubois situation? Because we don't know.
No, neither do we. I mean, you know, he's been very vague about it, and the details are scant as to what exactly led to his departure. I mean, the only thing that we heard anecdotally was this idea of him wanting to be, you know, have a bigger spotlight on him, which you know, begs the question, you know, what does that mean for him being in Winnipeg? But you know, the I always, by the way, the one, number one center thing with Columbus, I thought was really always interesting, because I remember at the time of the Ryan Johansson trade, there was a thought of, okay, did you just trade one of those guys for a defenseman in Seth Jones? And, you know, it was never brought up again because of how good Seth Jones had been up until this season. And then they lucked into the idea of getting Dubois in the draft, and it all kind of worked out really well for Kekalainen. And now you look at it and it's like, all right, well, now you don't have Dubois anymore, and you're back to that search for a top line center. And when we come down to the question of rebuild or retool or whatever, there's two primary problems right now with the organization in my eyes. The first is that if you're going to say that you need to find a number one center, and most teams in this league obviously have that player at the core of their lineup. There are a few, like Vegas, for example, that can get away with not having that. The only way you get him is through the draft. I mean, that's literally the only way you get him. I mean, unless you have the incredible bounty of treasures like the Rangers do, for example, to maybe make a push for a Jack Eichel at some point. The only way you're getting one of those guys is through the draft. The only way you're getting someone in the draft is to be really bad, right? So that's one argument for a rebuild. But the other problem for Columbus is retaining that talent. I mean, the names that you just read from that team that pulled the Tampa Bay upset, I mean, they all left. And in Dubois' case, you know, just stopped playing in order to make sure that he could leave. And so I don't know what you find when you open the hood and look inside at the machinery of this team to figure out why this keeps happening. I don't know if it's the coach. I don't know if it's the market. I don't know if it's the management. I don't know if it's the lack of overall success. I don't know what it is. But until you can figure that out, you know, it's not even worth going in the tank and trying to get one of these great young players if they're just going to want to leave, you know, 3 or 4 years later.
Yeah, Greg, I think that's the biggest insecurity of Blue Jackets fans, is the fact that you feel like you're almost the Oakland Athletics in the NHL, to where you find guys and then they leave you. Panarin is one thing because you traded for him. You knew it wasn't certain that he was going to be here. But it is the PLD one almost more damaging because you did identify him? And I know a lot of the talk around it, and you talked to – when we talked to Jody Shelley or some of the guys who played – the thought of a young, you know, like a really young player basically forcing his hand, you know, when you found him, you developed him, he's supposed to be part of your future, just saying, no, I'm not going to play. I'm going to leave. It won't tell you why. That can't ring true. It can't be a good sign, I guess, for the rest of the NHL. Young players saying, oh, things are, yeah, I want to go to Columbus as an option when I'm free. When a young player who's been groomed and you found, those should be the guys that you should have long term, right?
Yeah. I mean, when you think back to the way that he played in the bubble, I don't know many people that saw that performance and said, oh, yeah, he's gone. You know, like, he was playing so well that you looked at it and you said, okay, this is the guy that is going to be kind of your Jonathan Toews. I mean, the guy who steps up in big spots, the guy who can be a leader, the guy that you kind of can build your team around in a lot of ways. And then all of a sudden, he just opts out. And so, you know, I think part of the problem with trying to figure out if that perception is going to end up hurting the team is that we, like we said, we simply don't know what the factors were. Like, for example, you take a kid like Jacob Trouba from Winnipeg, who wanted out of Winnipeg and went to the Rangers. Well, he wanted to do that for a very specific family reason. And then that became clear. There had been talk for years about him wanting out of Winnipeg, and we all thought it's because he hated Winnipeg. Well, it turned out there was another reason. So until we really get closure on Dubois and understand the dynamics of his departure, I don't know how much it's going to resonate with other players around the league. If he comes out and says, look, it's a cancerous organization with a horrible head coach, I mean, that's not good, right? But like, no. But like, if it's kept vague, I don't know what that does necessarily to the marketplace looking at Columbus as a possible destination, let's say, as a free agent.
Yeah, and I'll get you out of here on this one, Greg. And I was thinking back as we've done a lot of kind of reflecting on what happened after Tampa. And, you know, obviously in one summer you lose Panarin, Bob, and that got a lot of the attention. But the other thing that was there was John Davidson. And John Davidson, as you know, is such a smooth operator. and such a, he gave so much legitimacy to this organization. And Jarmo Kekäläinen is great at identifying talent and all of those things. But John had an ability to have a soft touch. And I am wondering if his loss, we didn't give the right proper attention to.
Oh, I think he's a glue guy. I thought he was a glue guy in St. Louis. I thought he was a glue guy in Columbus, and really an important person at the top of your organization. And then, you know, he goes to New York, and then all of a sudden, like, this massive rebuild that they were going to have, you know, over the course of several seasons, you know, ends within like two seasons, and now they're turning the corner. That's not to put it all on John Davidson, but to say that, sure, you know, it's a sum of a part of the total sum. Where I find Davidson interesting is, you know, he was one of the big advocates for Tortorella when he was there. I mean, when they hired him, you know, they brought him on, and it was a massive sea change for the organization. Torts had been coming off a pretty rough time in Vancouver. He was a big Tortorella guy, and I do wonder from a Torts perspective. Look, you guys have read it. I mean, there is a perception out there in the coaching community that he might not want to be here anymore in Columbus. Whether that's true or false or where it's coming from, I don't know. But I do wonder behind the scenes, not only just for the players within the organization without JD being there, but also to not have JD there for Torts. I wonder how the dynamics for John have changed behind the scenes as well. Not to say that that's a factor, not to say sure that there's any truth to it, but I don't think that you can divorce the idea that one of your biggest advocates in the organization, you know, walked out the door a couple of years ago, and now, you know, the situation is what it is.
Yeah. Good stuff as always, Greg. Appreciate you.
Anytime. Thanks.
All right. Greg Wyshynski covers the NHL for ESPN, and always some good insight there on that front on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Time for your officially endorsed three things. It is a First Friday. It's coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place.
This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. It's First Friday Somewhere.
That's a big sense of freedom.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, it is a First Friday. Let's hit your officially endorsed. Hit it, Chopper.
You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
I'm going to use today's opportunity to vouch for a spring and summer mixer that I always have on hand. And so a lot of people like the Bloody Mary as a breakfast cocktail, these type of things at the beach. I find the viscosity of it to be, it's too thick. I don't like the thickness of it. It's a tough drink. So what I prefer is something that we used to drink a lot of in Montana. It's actually a Canadian drink, which is called a Bloody Caesar, and it's been unofficially endorsed before. Mm. But it's limiting to make it just a mixture with vodka. So I make this, and I have it at the ready. So it's Clamato juice, which is a tomato, clam, salty, tomatoey deliciousness. So it's, you take that, and I put it in a container, and then I put two heavy shakes of Worcestershire sauce, about three or four shakes of Tabasco, and then I always have celery salt to rim the glass. Now, I don't just use this with vodka. In fact, I don't drink much vodka at all, almost never. You can use it in a bloody beer. You can use it with a Modelo or a Corona or a Tecate or a Coors. You can use this certainly with bourbon if you'd like. A bloody bourbon would work great with that. Works great with tequila if you're a tequila drinker. Mm. Have this one ready. It's a pro tip. Have this mixer ready for you because it's springtime. I enjoyed a few of these over some Modelos over the weekend on vacation, and I think you will as well. And it is. You're officially endorsed. Time for three things.
One, two, one, two.
Three things with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
Tough lesson for Black Cobra yesterday. First day back at basketball practice for the AAU team. We missed two practices because we were on vacation. Ooh. So he went from being, you know, kind of a starter guard guy to backup post player. And I had to explain to him that, you know, these things happen. You miss practice, and you know, these things kind of happen. But this was his first little lesson in, and you may say, is 9 years old too early for this lesson? I don't know. But this is the reality. So we had to have that talk yesterday, that if you miss the practice, there are penalties even at age nine.
Yeah. Well, at least that's AAU. My dad used to institute those rules in just school stuff, and this is like back in like T-ball.
Yeah.
No, you miss, you're not playing. But, coach, everyone's supposed to play. Yeah, well, he'll get the eighth inning. There's only seven innings. Well, that's too bad. Anyway, Gosh. Looking back, I was brainwashed. Like, God, how could these people go on vacation? Losers. Yeah. Be committed to the team. And then now, like, being here now with kids, I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, hearing you say that, I'm like, oh, that's a little harsh. But I'm like, oh, animal was worse. Anyway, my first thing, truly amazing. So yesterday, I'm outside with London after school. She goes, Dad, I know why Hayden is always difficult. I'm like, yeah, honey, why is that? Well, it's because she has Satan in her head. I said, what? She goes, yeah. You know, like when we make bad choices, it's because Satan's in our head. And so that's why Hayden's always bad, because Satan's always in there.
Jeez.
And I said, well, she does go to a Presbyterian, you know, kindergarten. I'm like, and I'm sure that's kind of the theory of like the devil and the works. I'm like, the fact that she correlated that with Sissy being difficult, as Satan always in her head, I kind of actually tried to turn my head and laugh a little bit, and I had to go in and tell Cersei, because I was, there's more, but that's pretty good.
It's great. My first one, we've talked about it before, that like the NCAA seems like it's falling apart, that it's just holding itself together for the last little bits it can squeeze out of this monopoly they've had in college sports, and it's not doing well. Well, at least the priorities are straight as everything's, you know, falling down. They are currently suing a urology center over their use of vasectomy mayhem as a trademark to promote vasectomies, I guess, because it's too close to the NCAA's March mayhem, which is not even the main one. They only trademarked that one because they didn't like people being close to March Madness, so they had to trademark March mayhem as well, the one they don't even officially use. Priorities for the NCAA.
Yeah, well, when money's involved, that's where the priority is. Number two for me, I've received three phone calls in the last week begging me to coach T-ball. Now, I have coached baseball. I double coached football and basketball for the 9 and 7 year old, both. And I feel like I deserve some time away to take a season off.
Yeah.
The league that they are asking me to coach is Bootsy's first foray into baseball.
Amazing. You might need more than the first Friday, my friend. My second thing, London then goes on to say, you know, like at school, I had Satan in my head when I was looking at other kids' papers during math. And I go, whoa, 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 what? She goes, yeah, I was making a bad decision. I was, you know, I'm like, she's going to use this over and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to have a little bit of a theology lesson. But it was also more than that. It was, I just skipped past all that stuff and said, hold on, why are you looking at other kids' papers during math, London? You're good at math. My goodness, it starts already.
Kids, man.
Cheating on tests already.
My second one, we got the wedding photos. They're all done and everything. So we got the official, you know, online album and stuff, and we're going through them. J-Lo looks beautiful. It was great. It looked like people had a good time despite restrictions and stuff. And there were some great action shots in my Van Halen air guitar. So I'm very excited about that.
Very, very good. Finally, for me, my wife yells as if she's just found like $1,000 in the sofa and it's some sort of big success. I go out of the office. I say, what's going on? She goes, I put a toilet seat on. That's where we're at. That's where we're at.
Oh, man. I love it. My last thing. Yesterday, I'm going to get London with Hayden in the back seat just because she's not, you know, she's still on. Technically, her teacher's in quarantine, but I'm thinking she has a fake test because she actually gets to go back Monday, so I think it was a no and a false. But anyway, regardless, I'm with Hayden, spending great quality time driving, and I go, Hayden, you know how much Daddy loves you and loves spending time with you? I love you, honey. I know, Dad. Okay. All right. Then I love you, too.
Words.
No, I know, Dad. Thanks. All right. I was trying to be cute. Thanks, good.
Last one from me real quick. Kudos to Chris Holtman. He continues to do everything right. Apparently, he was instrumental in making sure that there were a few senior members of the Nut House in the building in the shot on Saturday for senior day so that they got to, you know, Kyle Young and CJ Walker got to hear from some of their peers cheering them on in the senior section on senior day.
Yeah, that's certainly awesome. Enjoy your first Friday, everybody. Make sure you act accordingly. Rothman and Ice up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FIRST.